Kingdom for an act, quotes, of great stupidity, giving away the Chagos Islands. We'll give you more details on that and, of course, get your views. In other news, end it like Beckham. Brooklyn, Beckham will be singing that. I'm done with my family and my mum ruined my wedding because she danced on me. Yes, you did hear those words correctly. Plus, a U-turn on the way regarding social media.
We believe that technology and AI can bring huge benefits to this country, but we will only seize those opportunities if people feel they and their kids are safe online.
Technology Secretary Liz Kendall and a complete MOT or overhaul of how our water regulator works. But what does the new one look like? Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Donald Trump has doubled down on his threat to impose tariffs on countries that oppose his plans to annex Greenland.
We have to have it. They have to have this done. They can't protect it. Denmark, they're wonderful people. And, you know, because the boat went there 500 years ago and then left, that doesn't give you title to property. So we'll be talking about it.
Speaking before boarding Air Force One in the last hour, the US president said he's done more for NATO than anybody else. He's threatening eight allies, including the UK, with tariffs if they continue to oppose his plans on Greenland. Mr. Trump has also confirmed that he's invited Russia's Vladimir Putin to join his Board of Peace for Gaza. Elsewhere this morning, ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under-16s in the UK. Sir Keir Starmer has come under pressure to act following a similar move by Australian lawmakers last month. Options will include raising the digital age of consent and restricting app features like infinite scrolling that could be addictive. Andy Burrows is from the teenage suicide charity the Molly Rose Foundation and says a compromise may be the best option.
What the Prime Minister can do, and we understand this is part of what will be consulted on, is strengthening the Online Safety Act to fundamentally address those addictive design choices that are trying to keep children on platforms for as long as possible.
Spain's Prime Minister has declared 3 days of national mourning for the victims of Sunday's train crash. At least 40 people died when a high-speed service derailed and collided with an oncoming train in Andalusia. Water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under plans for a new industry watchdog in England. The government's outlining powers, which aim to prevent major failures like crumbling pipes, it's in response to public anger on issues including rising bills and sewage pollution. Campaign groups say the plans lack urgency and boldness. And Brooklyn Pelt's Beckham has said that he doesn't wish to reconcile with his family. It's his first public comments addressing his strained relationship with his parents. He's accused Sir David and Victoria Beckham of trying to ruin his relationship with his wife, Nicola. They haven't responded to his social media post. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,195. It closed down 39 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most. Some widespread sunny spells will develop later. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Right now, you can get hearing devices from only £495 at Specsavers. Now, we know what you're thinking. Oh, if they're that cheap, they're bound to be those big old-fashioned ones that do this kind of thing.
As well as this kind of thing.
But actually, they just do this kind of thing. Clear sound from a piece of tech so small you can barely see it. All from only £495. So book a free hearing check at Specsavers now. Terms and conditions apply. See our website for details.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven, Tuesday, January the 20th. The truth is not so social as Donald J. Trump sees it. He says of the United Kingdom as an act, and I quote, an act of capital's great stupidity in the giveaway, his words, of the Chagos Islands. He does say we're brilliant, but the war of words heats up and he's not for turning regarding Greenland. We'll give you more details on that and take your reactions. Back here in the UK,
It's been dubbed Britain's first Big Brother town, with a criminal court every 34 minutes during a trial which involves 15 facial recognition cameras. I'm LBC's Henry Riley in Croydon.
As you heard, there are MOTs for our water regulators. How exactly will it work? You'll hear more through the course of today. John Lucas is with the Take Back Water campaign. He says...
I think the proposal by the government makes as much sense as asking an oil company like BP or Shell to come clean about its carbon footprint and how much damage it's done to our planet.
All the rumblings is of another government U-turn, but this time it's looking after our younger ones. A social media ban for under 16s. This is a U-turn you could support. And in other news... If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never. Friendship might never end, but unfortunately family does. As Brooklyn Beckham says, I'm done with my family. My mum ruined my wedding by dancing on me. They might have more money, richer than Croesus, but unfortunately it's not going to stop that family split.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
I'll read you a little of what President Trump has said as he boarded an aircraft in Miami, some of his social media posts, but I have an opportunity to get straight to Sir Ed Davey, who, of course, is leader of the Liberal Democrats, who is a very busy man this morning, so we've only got him for a couple of minutes, so I'm going to bring him straight in. Sir Ed, good to see you. Good morning. The reviews for Sir Keir's work yesterday are a bit mixed. The Daily Mail, I repeat, the Daily Mail said he said most of the right things. Meanwhile, Tom Peck in The Times says he spoke softly but forgot the big stick, using, of course, that quote, famous quote from Theodore Roosevelt. How would you characterise what we heard almost a day ago, Sir Ed? Morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Nick. I mean, on one level, I have sympathy with the Prime Minister. Traditionally, the UK has been strong when we've had a strong relationship with the White House and with Europe, and we've managed both those. And we've, over the decades, it's been really important to us. But I think you just have to accept it. It's like having a reality TV show host in the White House. This man is unhinged. And I think the only way you're going to deal with this person is realizing we need a different approach. And I think the Prime Minister's approach is been proven to be wrong, to be honest. We've had a year of this president. I think appeasing, fawning, trying to persuade him, just I regret to say, I don't think it's worked. And I think you're going to have to stand up to him. And that's what we've been saying. He's a bully. We've got to work with our allies, as difficult as it is, and say no to Donald.
And what does that, quote, standing up look like, Sir Ed?
Well, it's not doing what the Prime Minister did yesterday. You know, for example, the Europeans and others have said, look, if he does put tariffs on, we will regrettably look at retaliatory tariffs. You know, we'll fight back. I mean, no one wants that. No one wants a trade war. You know, everyone loses. But we've got to stand up to him in those ways. And the Prime Minister has almost taken those off the table. And I think you've got to work with your partners, really. And remember, the midterm elections are just around the corner. He's doing dreadfully in the polls. He's had a lot of pressure, even from his own side. So I think he's much weaker than he would like to admit to. And I think, therefore, working with our partners, we can stand up to him and get him to stop. He's backed down before.
You're right to point to those midterms, Sir Ed. There is a characterisation that, as you rightly say, he's not doing well. If his party performs badly, he's effectively neutered. That's why he's trying to get everything he possibly can done this side of the midterms. How accurate a depiction is that in your view?
Yeah, and I've heard that, we have to be ready for that. However, if he breaks the law and goes against American opinion, which he is. I mean, most Americans think he's totally wrong on Venezuela and Greenland and so on. If he loses the Senate and the House of Representatives in the midterms, they will impeach him. So he's also got to think about that. He's got to think about the backlash if he keeps breaking the law and going against American opinion, let alone British and European opinion.
Last minute or so together, two questions. Would you support trade wars?
No one wants trade wars, but you have to stand tough and you cannot take retaliatory tariffs on the table. You know, I've been saying for a long time, Nick, we need alternatives. That's why I've argued for, you know, a new UK-EU customs union so we can grow our trade elsewhere if we have to see this protectionist president tearing up the rule book and putting tariffs on our industries.
Final question. We were going to speak on the Board of Peace. These texts and social media posts have happened overnight. Just a quick word on that. The idea that the Kremlin could join President Trump's, sorry, Russia could join President Trump's Board of Peace. Sir Ed Davey.
It shows how Donald Trump is so out of control. You know, on one level, he's saying, you know, Russia's a threat in the Arctic. He has to have Greenland. And then he's putting Putin on a Board of Peace. I mean, come on. That's totally incoherent. And, you know, it's laughable. And that's why he's no more than a bad reality TV show host.
Grateful for your time, Sir Ed Davey, leader of the Liberal Democrats, joining us here on LBC, taking us to 7:10. So let's bring you some of the material that we would have done ahead of time and give you some of the context now. I know we've put a little bit of the cart before the horse, but we wanted to get a senior politician on. So let's talk a little about what's prompted this, what ongoing war of words. We will get to the UK interaction in a moment. But in a text exchange leaked to the US media yesterday, the president can be seen telling the Prime Minister of Norway he no longer feels an obligation to think purely of peace, his words not mine, and appeared to show he was motivated to take over Greenland after being snubbed for the Nobel Peace Prize. Here is the text message sent from President Trump to Jonas Gahr Støre, voiced by one of the production team.
Dear Jonas, considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the United States of America. Denmark cannot protect that land from Russia or China, and why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only that a boat landed there 100 years ago, but we have boats landing there also. I have done more for NATO than any other person since its founding, and now NATO should do something for the United States. The world is not secure unless we have complete and total control of Greenland. Thank you, President DJT.
Now, what he seems to unfortunately ignore is the fact that the Norway government has absolutely no way of influencing or way of determining who is going to be in receipt of the Nobel Peace Prize, something that I read he has been told on past occasions and he's chosen to ignore. Now, speaking this morning before boarding Air Force One, President Trump now claims he doesn't care about this prize.
No, I don't care about the Nobel Prize. First of all, a very fine woman felt that I deserved it and really wanted me to have the Nobel Prize, and I appreciate that. If anybody thinks that Norway doesn't control the Nobel Prize, they're just kidding. They have a board, but it's controlled by Norway, and I don't care what Norway says. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives. And I think I've saved tens of millions of lives.
So you don't care about it, Mr. President, and then you then go on to tell us all how it actually works. Can I put it to you that perhaps it does rankle a little bit? He also addressed that Greenland issue more widely, telling reporters he would be speaking about it with European leaders in Davos this week.
We have to have it. They have to have this done. They can't protect it. Denmark, they're wonderful people. And I know the leaders are very good people, but they don't even go there. And, you know, because the boat went there 500 years ago and then left, that doesn't give you title to property. So we'll be talking about it with the various people. We've had tremendous success, and I've done more for NATO than anybody else. I don't think you'd have NATO right now. I got them to go 5% and pay as opposed to 2% and not pay. I've done more than any other American president for NATO by far.
So that's the president shouting over the engines of Air Force One just about winning, but he's been busy on social media as well. He shared a private post from Emmanuel Macron, well, private no longer, of course, in which Monsieur Macron's message reads as follows. My friend, we are totally in line on Syria. We can do great things on Iran. I do not understand what you're doing on Greenland. Let us try to build great things One, I can set up a G7 meeting after Davos in Paris on Thursday afternoon. I can invite the Ukrainians, the Danish, the Syrians and the Russians in the margins. You'll note no Britain, British involvement. Two, let us have dinner in Paris together on Thursday before you go back to the US. So that's a private post, which is now, of course, known to the world. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, again on social media, has let us know, and I quote, I've had a very good telephone call with Mark Rutte, the Secretary General of NATO, concerning Greenland. I agreed to a meeting of the various parties in Davos, Switzerland. As I expressed to everyone, very plainly, Greenland is imperative for national and world security. There can be no going back. He goes on to say, and I'll say where they are, we are the only, quote, ERCAP's power that can ensure peace throughout the world. And it is done quite simply through strength, signed the President. And then the most recent, unless there's been one while I've been speaking in the last 20 minutes or so, it concerns the United Kingdom. Shockingly, our brilliant NATO ally, the United Kingdom, is currently planning to give away the island of Diego Garcia, the site of a vital US military base, to Mauritius, and to do so, and capitals here, for no reason whatsoever. There is no doubt China and Russia have noticed this act of total weakness. These are international powers who only recognise capitals' strength, which is why the United States of America, under my leadership, is now, after only 1 year, respected like never before. The UK giving away extremely important land is an act of capital's great stupidity, and another in a very long line of national security reasons why Greenland has to be acquired. Denmark and its European allies have to do the right thing. He signs off, thank you for your attention to this matter. But that's a social media. That's what you normally do if you're writing to your bank because they haven't paid a direct debit. Where do we go? Where do we start? Is it an act of great stupidity? Do you imagine that some peace can break out in Davos? Where do you want to start with Donald J. Trump? It was already... We don't want to completely Trump you out here. We're already telling you it's a year since he actually took power. We're doing quite a bit on that as well. So we'll come to your views. Tony, you'll be the first caller. But let's do it another story as well. And sadly, a family rift that you cannot see any solution at the moment. End it like Beckham. Now, here's Victoria Beckham, mum, speaking on US television back in 2022 about her son's Brooklyn's wedding to Nicola Peltz.
Yeah, it was a beautiful wedding. And as a mother, to see my son so happy means so much. Mm. What more can you ask for?
I'm liking that there from the interviewer. Well, now, apparently, in Brooklyn's view, the wedding was ruined. My mum ruined the wedding by dancing on me in an embarrassing fashion. We'll give you more details on that. Where are we? 7:16 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Donald Trump has described the UK's decision to hand over sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius as an act of great stupidity. The US president has also doubled down on his plans to annex Greenland, saying Denmark can't protect the Arctic territory. And ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under-16s in the UK. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the A1M heading southbound from Junction 8 at Stevenage to Junction 7 at the A602 at Stevenage South. It's following an accident and the road stays partially blocked. Still very busy on the A13 westbound to Raynham, and that's because a car broke down earlier. There were delays back to Wellington, but then from Raynham to Barking, the usual queues of about 35 minutes. On the trains, well, on London Overground, the Windrush line remains suspended too, from New Cross Gate to both Crystal Palace and West Croydon. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line, and that's because of an ongoing shortage of trains.
LBC.
Always dreamt of running your own business? It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973 LBC.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Whoa. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589 from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Cost and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Just coming up, where? Yes, it is 20 minutes after 7. Tony, you'll be the first caller. Let me quickly take you through the front pages now. Events have moved so swiftly this morning. It wasn't even the same as when I came in and sat down in the newsroom, because the social media post about the United Kingdom giving away the Chagos Islands, an act of great stupidity, hadn't even been posted. But I will tell you that aspects of this story continue to dominate the front pages as they went to bed last night. Front page of the Times reflects that story as well. Front page of the Guardian: Trump links Greenland threats to Nobel snub. There's the front page. I'm no longer think purely about peace, says Trump, is the front page of the Times. I think it's one other as well. Yes, here we are. A prize idiot, says the Metro. That's their view of Donald Trump. The other big story, which we're going to look at later in the show, is the idea there could be another U-turn on the way, although this, I sense, is one that perhaps will get a lot more support than the earlier policies concerning winter fuel payments and others. U-turn opens door to ban on social media for under-16s, and British teenagers face social media... That's the Mail, sorry. British teenagers face social media ban as the front page of the Daily Telegraph. We're going to be speaking with senior government minister later, and we will... Chief Secretary to the PM, Darren Jones, and we will put that to him and get more news on that. The LBC app, well, I'm sure they will update. They haven't actually got the UK line just yet. We have to have it. This is what Trump is saying, of course, about Greenland. And one other story taken at random, the front page of the Independent website has a photograph of Prince Harry, of course, as he arrived at, I think it's court number 76 at the High Court, taking on the Daily Mail publisher, along with others, including Sadie Frost and Liz Hurley, who were both there yesterday, a trial that is expected to and has been slated for 9 weeks at a cost of possibly £38 billion. 38 million, I'm so sorry, 38 million pounds, that's right, £38 million. Right, let's come back to where we find ourselves with Donald Trump. Tony's in Fareham. Thank you for calling in, Tony. Well, we've heard what Ed Davey thinks the British reaction should be. We've heard what Sir Keir says the British reaction will be. What do you think it should be? Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Nick. I hope you're well. Starmer is right to be cautious for one main reason. The Americans maintain and supply our nuclear weapons, which is key to our continuous at-sea deterrent, which obviously the French have individually. My point is that, you know, he doesn't need to do this. He's already got Denmark as an ally. He doesn't need to
build this. He can build more bases on Greenland.
He can build
anyway.
As many bases as he wants.
There's no restriction.
He doesn't need to go down this road, and he knows that. And I think he's being driven in partly by J.D. Vance, who I think is just anti-Europe, anti-NATO, and wants right-wing leaders put into positions of power in Europe. I think the man's completely out of control, to be perfectly honest.
So what should the reaction of a close ally be if the bloke is, to use your words, if the man is completely out of control? What does a close friend and ally do?
Well, close friends and allies are all over Europe. The Americans have got thousands and thousands of troops, men and women in Europe serving the American military. The current supreme allied commander in Europe is an American, Grinkiewicz. So how does that fit? And also, he has a huge number of bases in Europe, which the Americans need. They need it for intelligence, and they need it for their air power, projection of air power across the globe. The Europeans can hit back quite strongly, not only through trade, but by also just saying to the Americans, sorry, but you're persona non grata.
Well, who's going to defend NATO? Who's going to pay for the vast chunk of NATO if the other European nations did that?
Well,
isn't that the reality, as some people were saying yesterday, and there's commentary about that in the papers today? For too long, countries such as the United Kingdom and other European nations have had defence on the cheap because we've allowed the United States of America to pay the vast bulk. And all the while that we had presidents like Obama and even the Bushes, we were in a good place. Now we've got a dangerous president and we're paying the price for not having invested in our own security.
Yes, he's absolutely right. And he's got what he wanted. He's got Europe to rearm he's got his wish. You know, he has that. And he has that pressure that he's put on the European leaders and obviously us, Germany, us to a lesser degree, unfortunately, but Germany, Poland, and other.
All right. Tony, we'll leave it there. Thank you. The next caller will be Tony the second, but hope you can hold, because I want to go to matters back here in the UK, because you have to be aware there are other stories. And I know how many of you listen to this show before or as you're in your cars. So have you, like me. Notice there are problems with road markings up and down the country. Well, the RAC, and you're going to hear from a representative in a moment, has commissioned some research, and they say that one in six drivers have had a near miss with another vehicle because of faded road markings. The RAC saying this is frightening and urging the government to work swiftly with councils to rectify this situation. Rod Dennis is the road safety spokesperson with the RAC and joins me now. What sort of problems are we talking about? Describe it in a little more detail, what your members and what you're hearing. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, look, these are vital markings on the road. I think they're the sorts of things we don't notice, frankly, until they're disappearing. And that's what's starting to happen, according to drivers. The most common one that drivers report they're seeing disappearing, if you can see such a thing, are the centre line markings, those solid or white lines that basically divide lanes of traffic. And then we've got things like arrows on roundabouts, give way markings, stop lines at junctions. These are all crucial things. As I say, the sorts of markings we don't notice really until they're not there, but they are vitally important to keep all of us safe. They reinforce the safety rules on the road. They help protect vulnerable road users. It's not right that councils are allowing these to slip away.
Rod, when I heard about this yesterday, I'll tell you why it appealed to me. I don't know where you live, but I live in London, and I've never seen the amount of roadworks going on in and around London as are currently. And what happens a lot is, if they move cars into the other carriageway, i.e. we're going to go into the alternative,
yep,
they don't change the road markings. And if it's starting to get dark, and I nearly went into a set of roadworks because the road markings were effectively taking me straight in to where they're digging the hole.
Yep.
Do you see what I'm trying to outline, Rod?
I know exactly what you mean. I live an hour, a couple of hours west of you in Bristol. Very similar picture here. I think if you go to other countries, I think Spain's particularly good at this. They tend to mark out all of their roads in a different colour, the road markings, temporarily when they're doing roadworks, which helps guide drivers. But as I say, this is sort of a crucial sort of safety aspect. And we had the road safety strategy, you know, within the last couple of weeks, lots of good stuff in there. But what we're saying to government today and saying to councils is it's something that cannot be forgotten. And I think the other thing I'd add to this, Nick, as well, is that there's a safety element here. But, you know, one day the ambition is they're all going to be going around in autonomous and sort of driverless vehicles. Well, these cars depend on having clear road markings to do their work. They cannot work out the lanes for themselves. Yeah. They need the white lines to do it. So if those white lines don't exist, that creates an immediate problem for the technology that's meant to make all of us safer in the future. So we've got to get to grips with this somehow.
Well done with all the work you and your colleagues have done. Rod Dennis, RAC Road Safety Spokesperson. If, like me, and I sense like Rod as well, you've had times when you've driven towards roadworks and the road markings are taking you slap bang into the middle of the hole or into the traffic lights, do share those stories with me. But understandably, it's global events that have got us talking first. Tony in Barnum at 7:28. What does the UK do now after this, the last less 45 minutes or so, the social media post from Donald Trump? Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Nick. Tony the second, is that a royal title you bestowed upon me?
Yes, that's right, you are Tony. Yeah. Tony the second of Barnum in Chichester. Yes, absolutely right.
the problem we've got now is Donald Trump is the most powerful man in the world, as we know, but yeah, he's becoming so dangerous because he's becoming more unpredictable. He's acting like a child throwing his toys out the pram for not getting a Nobel Peace Prize and then writing a letter to the Norway Prime Minister blaming him.
Yep.
And then inviting Russia to the peace table for Gaza, even though they don't want peace with the Ukraine. It's just bizarre. It's a very difficult line that we have to take, really. I mean, obviously, do we do what Keir Starmer does? Is he?
Well, I don't know really what he did do. I mean, he's in an unenviable position, but I don't really see that he achieved anything yesterday.
Well, no, I did sort of text in yesterday saying that it was a lot of waffle, to be honest. He didn't say a great deal. And I just think, I mean, I've been saying all along, we should be getting tougher with Donald Trump ever since he treated Zelensky.
Lastly, if, as all indications are, the midterms later this year go against him and he's effectively stripped of executive power, can you imagine what we might see from him then?
Well, he'd be a raging bull, wouldn't he?
He will, and a rather powerful one. Tony II, look after yourself. Thank you. That conversation will continue. Also, coming up directly after the news headlines.
The UK lost around 30,000 jobs in November and over 40,000 more in December as the labour market continues to splutter. I'm Christian May from City AM discussing this shortly.
7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has accused Britain of an act of great stupidity over its decision to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. He claims it benefits China and Russia and is further proof that Greenland should be controlled by the United States. The UK could be moving closer to a ban on social media for under-16s. The government has announced it's to hold a consultation on the plans after pressure from some Labour MPs. And water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under proposals for a new industry watchdog in England. The government's outlining powers which aim to prevent major failures like crumbling pipes. LBC weather cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Some widespread sunny spells developing by the afternoon. A high of 10 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
Lewis and Emily are in Minneapolis, the city where ICE raids have been going on for the past week, leaving the city a tinderbox of tension. A special report from there.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
You have to wait in traffic. You have to wait for your coffee, but you shouldn't have to wait for healthcare. Nuffield Health offers online booking and consultant appointments within 48 hours. No hidden costs, with one price covering all your private healthcare during and after treatment. You can spread the cost over 24 months with a 0% interest payment plan. Search Nuffield Health Hospitals today. Subject to status, terms and conditions apply. Nuffield Health is a broker, Chrysalis Finance Limited, the lender, authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2.25% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Interest paid monthly. Terms apply.
That's it. We need a bigger car.
Smart speaker. What's an award-winning SUV?
The Tucson is an award-winning midsize SUV and is available for a 24-hour test drive.
They look great. And it's a self-charging hybrid too.
Smart speaker. Search offers on a Hyundai Tucson.
The Tucson is available with 2 years 0% APR. And it's Hyundai, by the way.
Discover the Hyundai Tucson self-charging hybrid. Ends 31st of March, 25% deposit, finance subject to status. Hyundai UK is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
There are two types of drive you can have on the motorway. One that feels like this. Or one that feels... like this. The difference is just a few little changes. Like giving more space to the car in front. Or not hogging the middle lane. Because being a little more considerate on the road actually reduces congestion and collisions. Which transforms everyone's journey. So we all feel a little less and a lot more National Highways.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Call 0345 6060973.
7:33 is the time. Glenn, you're going to be the next caller. I know you want to look at the idea of this rather strange idea of a peace board that would include Russia, but if it brought an end to the killing in Ukraine, it's something to support. But let's get into the world of business. Stay with events here in the United Kingdom. Christian Mayer is editor-in-chief at City AM. And what are the UK unemployment figures telling us this morning? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, we've had the latest analysis from the Office for National Statistics looking at the end of last year. We now know that cumulatively the UK economy shed about 185,000 jobs across 2025. About 30,000 jobs were lost in November and about 45,000 jobs were lost in December. The wage growth in the private sector economy continued to cool, wage growth now at about 4.5 or 4.6%. In the public sector, that figure stands north of about 7%. And I just want to look at some of these figures that I'm just going over now about exactly where jobs have been lost and created in the UK economy. Most unsurprisingly, most jobs have been lost in retail and hotel accommodation and leisure and food activities. Huge decreases in those two categories. Where have jobs been created? Pretty much the only buoyant area is in health and social work and what's called public administration. So that's, in other words, public sector jobs, where wage growth is pretty buoyant. And in the private sector, particularly large, labour-heavy parts of the private sector, retail, high streets and hospitality jobs continue to disappear. What does this all mean, apart from people who are struggling? For the wider economy, it means that the Bank of England will be studying that wage growth figure, and most economists take today's figures to indicate that there will be a continued slide towards the 2% inflation target and the associated slide in interest rates, which for many people will be good news. But that decline in inflation will be driven by a cool in consumer demand and economic confidence. So a bit of a double-edged sword.
Let's move to other matters and your front page. You're urging your readers to grin and bear it. Why?
Well, I suppose we're asking the question as to whether that's what we have to do. And that headline is accompanied by a big picture of Donald Trump with one of his trademark grins, the presidential smirk. Where to begin with the fallout from his latest tariff salvo? Asian markets had another slippy night while we were asleep, Nick. That followed declines in Europe and the UK in the markets yesterday. US markets were not open yesterday. Martin Luther King Day, it was a public holiday. So we now wait for US equity markets to open today and to see the impact. Now, actually, most people expect that so buoyant is the AI-powered public markets in the US that there might be a relatively muted reaction to the latest wave of uncertainty unleashed by the president. But looking closer to home, what does this all mean? The president was asked last night if he's actually deadly serious about imposing these new tariffs on allies if they don't hand over Greenland, and he said 100% he's going to go through with it. So that sort of rhetoric is not going to help. It's not going to help public market confidence. It's not going to help economic confidence. These conversations will all come to a head in Davos. And it seems Trump really has got a taste for tariffs once again. Overnight, he also said he was going to put a 200% tariff on French wine and champagne. And that is in a response to Macron snubbing his Board of Peace. Trump said, I don't want him anyway because he's going to be out of office soon enough. So some you can imagine some rather spicy conversations taking place in the chalets and hotel lobbies around Davos, including with Nigel Farage, who has also said that he thoroughly disapproves of Trump's tariffs and that he will be having a word with the US administration.
How is the government hoping to lure a tech spin-off to London?
Well, we were talking this time yesterday, just ahead of what we took to be the Chancellor's appearance at the London Stock Exchange in the heart of the City of London, where she was going to hail the buoyant market in London and talk about a new golden age of companies coming to the public markets. She actually pulled out of that shortly after you and I finished talking. She didn't turn up in the end. Change of plan. I don't think she wanted to stand in the heart of the stock exchange and trumpet great market stability on a day that was likely to turn red after the president's tariff salvo. And she stood by Keir Starmer at his emergency speech on tariffs in Downing Street. But nevertheless, the event went ahead and there were all sorts of reforms discussed and announced about how to inspire more people to get active in the UK market. And one company in particular that the government is desperate to see go public in London is Kraken Technologies. Now, that's the huge spin-out tech side of Octopus Energy, Britain's biggest household energy supplier, Britain's state-backed economic development agency, yes, we have such things, has taken a £25 million stake in Kraken Technologies. They're saying it's not a bung, it's a strategic investment. Anyway, they want that company to list here in the UK. We were speaking to Greg Jackson, founder of Octopus Energy, yesterday at that event, and he said he really wants to choose London, but London would have to win that argument on merits, and if it simply makes more commercial sense to take that business public stateside, then that's what they're going to do. But certainly there's huge hope, almost desperation you can smell among the governments to win this great big tech float, because the UK, you know, could do with a few of its own big homegrown, home-listed tech firms. The government very much hoping that Kraken Technologies goes on to become one of them.
Christian Mayer, editor-in-chief at City AM, thanks for your time. Coming up on 7:40, Glenn, coming to you for your call concerning Donald Trump and this idea of a peace pool. But I just want to pick up a lot of people you're talking about the story we covered in the first half of the hour, which is the IRAC having commissioned research that shows about one in six drivers have had problems because of disappearing road markings. Dave Robinson in Aboyne. Here in Aberdeenshire, many, if not most, of our rural roads have no road markings. The main Aberdeen to Braemar route has long stretches devoid of edge markings and often worn or invisible centre markings. On a misty winter evening drive, it is treacherous. This is very much, of course, the point that we were making. Mary says, road markings at New Cross in London. I stopped in the yellow junction box. The line was faded. I didn't see it. I'm now waiting for that fine. Mel in Chelsea, I've noticed the fading of road markings for some time. The Stockley Park roundabout near Heathrow is shocking. Barely anything visible anymore. Particularly dangerous if you've just flown into London and collected a hire car and you have to contend with this. Well, also, as the gentleman from the RAC was saying, if we are moving to these cars that are almost self-driving, they rely on those road markings to know exactly where to go. And I didn't think they need to be aware of that. 7:41. Glenn in Oxford. Glenn, you want to talk about the peace board, is that right? Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir.
So I'm listening to you, you know, concerning Donald Trump wanting to take her Britain. And I'm thinking the best person that the UK have at the moment is not the Prime Minister, but the former Prime Minister, Sir Tony Blair.
You say he's the best man the country has, did you say?
I think he's the best person that we have, you know, because...
What are his credentials in that area, would you say?
Well, because of his experience as a former prime minister, he knows foreign affairs. And also, I mean, his appointment to the peace board gets him very closer to Donald Trump. So it would be good for the UK to ask him, what does he think about what Donald Trump wants to do to the Greenland? Because, I mean, if you see the prime minister, you can see that he's just a bit dally, you know. You don't know the Prime Minister's position because he will go to Davos and come and he will be a different Keir Starmer. But, I mean, maybe the focus should now shift into Sir Tony Blair to get his understanding, his views.
Do you think, lastly, the majority of the British population support Tony Blair in the way you do, Glenn?
Well, I mean, I would say yes and no, you know, because I wouldn't say the whole population. But then in terms of his opinion, you know, I would say that, I mean, I'll be interested to know, I mean, why he thinks he should be on the peace board, number one. And number two, I will also be interested, you know, to know his relationship with Donald Trump.
Okay. Glenn, I have to end there because we have other stories to cover. Thank you for your input. Let's see what others make of it. And let's move to events back here at home. And we all know the quality of our water universally, nationwide, is shocking. And there is a water white paper to be published today. It will outline Power's plan for a new watchdog as we say farewell to Ofwat, and is expected to talk about infrastructure, what are called MOTs, to prevent major failures. I would imagine if you're living in parts of Kent or Sussex, you'll listen with great interest to my conversation with Amy Fairman, who's head of campaigns at River Action. A big day then today, you and your colleagues and the lobbying that you've done. What are you hoping to hear? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Yes, well, what we're expecting, we've seen the press release come out this morning from the government. And, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, ripples of change, but not the ways of the reform that we need in the water industry, which restructures the whole system and sees water companies operating for public good. And what we mean by that is, you know, legal responsibility to operate for the good of nature and the good of people and good of society over maximising profit. And what we've seen today is announcements around, as you explained, MOT health checks. So that's looking at the state of our infrastructure in a more constructive way, performance plans for those water companies that are failing. But overall, it doesn't really tackle the underlying problem, and that is the privatisation of our water industry that maximises profits and the failure of our regulator to hold those polluters to account. And let's not forget, we're only talking about the water companies here, and this lacks mention of any other pollution sources, including agriculture.
So what are the waves of change you would like to see then, Amy?
Yeah, well, what I explained before is we need to see an overhaul of the way that the a motive to reduce that profit motive. So a way that we need to see an overhaul in the system that places a legal responsibility for water companies to, as I explained, to operate in the good of public and nature, not over maximizing profit. And we need to see that done through regional water control, you know, people and nature on boards. We need to see local plans and nationalized strategic operations, and we need to really see a shake-up of how water industry is run, so we're not extracting the money that we desperately need to see invested in our infrastructure. That's not extracted by shareholders, and it's actually invested back into the system.
Amy Fairman, your head of campaigns at River Action, thank you for your input on that. As and when we hear more about this water bill, of course you will hear it covered here on LBC. Coming up after the news, in other government matters, promises to have a fast-moving civil service. Or does that sound a bit like an oxymoron to you? We'll hear more after this. 7:45, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has accused Britain of an act of great stupidity over its decision to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. The UK could be moving closer to a ban on social media for under-16s, and water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under plans for a new industry watchdog in England. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells by the afternoon, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M20 westbound to Junction 3 at the M26. It's following an accident and one lane is closed. Also, delays on the A1M southbound from Junction 8 at Stevenage to 7 at the A602. And that's also following an accident. Very busy on the M4 eastbound onto the elevated section this morning. There are delays of about half an hour. And in Croydon, the A23 Port Purley Way remains closed northbound because of the emergency repair works. On London Overground, the Windrush line remains suspended to and from New Cross Gate to both Crystal Palace and West Croydon. Also on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line because of the ongoing shortage of trains.
LBC.
At AJ Bell, we believe every customer deserves brilliant service, which is just one reason we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. And we all trust pilots, with their smooth, captainy voices that make you feel like you'd let them land anywhere they like. Sorry, where was I? Right, AJ Bell, rated excellent by sexy pilots. I mean Trustpilot. I'm a flight risk. AJ Bell, feel good investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so good.
We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do.
Dominate your finances.
Sunday morning, listening to questionable financial advice from the FinTok bros on his social feed.
Drowning in green.
Scale, 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 scale.
This is the moment Isaac chose to search Barclays Life Skills, get some better money intel, and save up for that new skateboard. We're helping young people become money confident. Search Barclays Life Skills. Barclays. Make money work for you.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick.
Elegance is a journey. Air France.
To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Always dreamt of running your own business? It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before eight. Back to our conversation, all matters Trump in a moment or three. One wonders what we had to talk about before that, didn't we? Probably happier times for many of us. But we go to events here in the UK, and we're going to hear later today from one of Sir Keir Starmer's key colleagues, calling for a state that, and I quote, can move fast and fix things, and promotes the doers, not the talkers, in a speech later today. That key colleague is Chief Secretary of the Prime Minister, Darren Jones, who joins me now. Good to have you on, Chief Secretary. A little more detail on what you're going to be calling for today. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Nick. I'm just very grateful that you've asked me a question about the thing I'm actually doing today.
Now, I'm always pretty good at that. I'm always pretty good at that. I hear from colleagues that they're not so good. I always play with a straight bat, at least the opening delivery.
At least the opening. Look, it's a busy news day. I understand the challenges. Look, the big political argument I'm making today is that the public blame the broken state for the country not heading in the right direction. And I broadly agree with them. The Conservative offer of just continued decline and cutting things back obviously hasn't worked. The reform offer is just tear the whole thing down. What I'm saying is that what we need to do today is build a new consensus to build a new digital state. We need to have our public services working in a way that the public would recognise in comparison to the way they do banking or shopping or those types of things on a mobile app. And that is the only route, in my view, to achieving better outcomes for people and reducing the cost of running public services in the future.
Well, of course, that digital state could have included a digital ID, but that's sort of half-shelved and no longer compulsory, isn't it? That's a bit embarrassing for you.
Look, there are two different things here. So the digital ID, basically the ability to log into the app and prove who you are, we're still delivering that, and it will be available in a couple of years' time. That will essentially be the front door to the new state, the government app. The digital checks on your right to work, they will still be mandatory from 2029, but one of the questions we're consulting on, which we open in a couple of weeks, is you can actually prove your identity digitally either with a government ID or by, for example, scanning your passport. And we think there are a number of options there for people to use. So that will still happen from 2029.
The speech you're giving today, how is success to be judged?
By the rapturous applause
after the third standing ovation, the third SO, how will we know that the civil service is moving like a well-oiled machine, Mr. Jones?
Well, the public will be able to get what they need quickly through their phone. That's essentially the test of it. So that if you're trying to sort your childcare or talk to the tax man or check your eligibility for universal credit or those types of things, in the years ahead, you should be able to do that in a quick and convenient and simple way on your app at a time that suits you, and you won't have to rely on all these call centres and forms and explaining your story a million times to different parts of government. That's going to be the measure of success.
You're a smart bloke. You've noted it is a very busy news day. I have a couple of things to put to you, not least the post that has come within the last hour and a bit from Donald Trump, talking about how we, the United Kingdom, are a brilliant NATO ally, but also saying that we've committed an act of great stupidity to, and these are his words, give away the island of Diego Garcia. Mr. Jones, your reaction to the President's words?
The island of Diego Garcia is an important military base for the United Kingdom, which we share with our NATO allies, including the United States. We agree with the President on that. The island, obviously, was an island from the British Empire. There was a challenge to the sovereignty of it from the Mauritian government. And what we've done is a deal with the Mauritians that protects that island for the next century to be used as a military base with proper security powers and guarantees for both the island and the seas around it to protect our capabilities there. That was welcomed by the American administration when we did the deal. The treaty's been signed, it's been welcomed by NATO allies, and we think that's the best solution to protecting that military base, as I say, for the next century.
What is the approach that needs to be taken from the United Kingdom towards Donald Trump? He doesn't appear really to have responded positively to the Prime Minister's words almost 24 hours ago.
Look, I think if you judge the Prime Minister on his successes, whether it's on protecting the car industry, getting zero tariffs on British-made medicines, whether it's getting the technology trade deal up and running between the US and the UK, whether it's getting the President's support for interventions in Ukraine, and those types of things, it shows that the Prime Minister's relationship with the President matters, but it also shows that British diplomacy is the right way to respond to what I agree is an unusual way of conducting world affairs. That's been successful for us so far. It's challenging, I totally recognise that. But I think the way the Prime Minister is playing it is right. That's been proven so far, and that's how he's going to continue to do it.
One story that's making front page news, ministers have consulted on a social media ban for the under-16s and toughen up rules on mobile phones in schools. Does this represent another U-turn, Mr. Jones?
No, it doesn't. The Prime Minister is always rightly concerned about the well-being of young people and children in relation to social media. We've legislated recently to put protections in place, but we think there may be areas that we can go further on. But equally, you don't want to just close off all of these opportunities for young people if they're engaging with news content or accessing support services and those types of things, which is why the NSPCC and others have said a ban isn't appropriate. So we're not coming out today with a fully formed answer, but we're recognising that there's a need for a national conversation with parents and young people and tech companies.
What does a national conversation look like? That's a strange one. How does that take place?
Well, it's basically a kind of enhanced form of government consultation. So instead of someone just filling out a form on the website, we'll be going around the country and talking to young people and parents to see what more we can do to protect young people's well-being.
What's your message to Hillsborough families? I read that now there could be an indefinite delay to the so-called Hillsborough law, Chief Secretary.
Well, we've got 99% of the way with the Hillsborough families to legislate for the duty of candour, which is an important and personal commitment from the Prime Minister. We've hit a little bit of a knot about how that works with the intelligence agencies, who obviously have to conduct their business in a way that protects national security, which means that the duty of candour has to apply differently to them. What we've done is we've said to the families, we're not going to rush this last bit. So it's not an indefinite pause, as in that we're not getting on with
not
the bill.
Not rush this. I mean, this goes back to the 1980s, and Sir Keir's promises go back years.
Sure. But the bit about how the intelligence agencies have to comply with the duty of candour has been a policy discussion we've been having over the last few weeks, essentially. So the families have asked for more time to discuss that with us, and we've respected that request, and that's why we've decided to take a bit more time on this last bit.
When will the Hillsborough law become law? 2026?
We want it to become law as soon as possible, but we do want to make sure that we take the time that the families want to have with us to get this final bit into the best possible place. The Prime Minister will never undermine national security, but he also recognises that we want to work with the families to get the duty of candour as it relates to the intelligence agencies in the best possible place. And I think it's right that we take the time to do that properly, so that when we do come to a vote on the floor of the House of Commons, the families don't feel that it's been rushed from their perspective.
Have you got a bit of rumblings of rebellion within your ranks? Last night I read Labour MPs use an urgent question tabled by Sir James Cleverly, the Conservative, to criticise their own party's decision to cancel local elections. They said the move, quotes, is embarrassing. Why are you frightened of democracy with local elections, Mr. Jones?
We're not frightened of democracy. Councils themselves were able to request a delay, a short delay to their elections if they're going through a reorganisation. And a number of councils have asked for that. This isn't the government imposing it on councils. Councils have asked for it. And some MPs across the House, presumably in those local areas, may have different views to their councils. They're perfectly entitled to represent their constituency view on that. But the key point here is that if a council is reorganising, you don't want to go through a costly set of elections for a number of councillors and then have to redo it 5 minutes later because you've changed the boundaries of the council.
Why does it take 3 years to rearrange the local authority elections?
I mean, everything takes too long is my general view, Nick. I mean, I don't disagree with the sentiment, but that's what I'm told it requires, probably because of constitutional changes and finance systems and HR and job contracts and all that type of stuff. I would rather it move quicker than that. But
meanwhile, three and three quarter million people can't vote.
They'll get to vote for their new council.
So you're not Frit.
Been set up. No, not at all. I say this is not us imposing it on councils. This is the councils themselves asking for it on the basis that they're going through a process of change and we're just respecting their request to do that.
Finally, the Sunday Times had an interesting report about you yesterday on the weekend, suggesting you're involved in a briefing war against your close friend and colleague, Wes Streeting. Are you channeling your inner Alan Carr here as a traitor?
No, I'm definitely not. Look, the story is complete nonsense. Wes knows, as well as all of my colleagues, that there's absolutely no truth to it. I do not brief against Wes, who is a friend and colleague of mine. I don't brief against any of my colleagues. It's not how I conduct myself. And as I've said repeatedly, because this was the second attempt, someone has tried to plant this story. And the first time they failed, remember when they briefed against Wes the first time round? The second time they got the second half of the plot in, that it was my bright idea. And whoever it is, I tell them to get on with the bloody job or get out.
Third time lucky, as I could respond, of course. All right, a fast-moving civil service promoting the doers, not the talkers, as outlined by Darren Jones, Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister. Thanks for your time, Mr. Jones. You've taken us to 8 o'clock for the LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, President Trump has called the UK's plans to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius as an act of great stupidity. He claims it benefits Russia and China and is further proof the US needs control of Greenland for national security. Speaking to Nick in the last few minutes, the Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones, pushed back on Mr. Trump's comments.
The island obviously was an island from the British Empire. There was a challenge to the sovereignty of it from the Mauritian government. And what we've done is a deal with the Mauritians that protects that island for the next century to be used as a military base with proper security powers and guarantees for both the island and the seas around it. That was welcomed by the American administration when we did the deal. The treaty's been signed. It's been welcomed by NATO allies. And we think that's the best solution to protecting that military base.
Donald Trump has said he'll discuss his plans for Greenland with European leaders in Davos later this week. The Liberal Democrat leader, Sir Ed Davey, has told Nick, Sir Keir Starmer has to stand up to the US president.
He's a bully. We've got to work with our allies, as difficult as it is, and say no to Donald.
And what does that, quote, standing up look like, Sir Ed?
Well, it's not doing what the Prime Minister did yesterday. You know, for example, the Europeans and others have said, look, if he does put tariffs on, we will regrettably look at retaliatory tariffs. You know, we'll fight back.
Ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under 16s in the UK. Options will include raising the digital age of consent and restricting app features like infinite scrolling that could be addictive. Water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under new plans for an industry watchdog. The government is outlining powers which aim to prevent major failures like crumbling pipes in England and Wales. The government's expected to announce later whether it'll approve or reject China's plans for a mega embassy in London. Some campaigners and MPs have called for it to be rejected, citing Beijing's track record of espionage cases. Ministers say the plans will be subject to all necessary checks. And Brooklyn Pelts Beckham says he doesn't want to reconcile with his parents. He's accused Sir David and Lady Victoria of trying to ruin his relationship with his wife Nicola. They haven't responded to his social media post. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 reopened at 10,195. It closed down 39 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Widespread sunny spells, which will develop by the afternoon. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Dogs and cats. Sure, they need a lot, but they're worth every penny. Still, would be good if you could save a few pennies, right? Well, if you've got a Tesco Club Card, you'll get a Club Card discount on Tesco Pet Insurance. And all policies include VetPhone for peace of mind 24/7. Just search online for Tesco Pet Insurance. Pets age 8 weeks or over, VetPhone provided by Vets Direct Limited. Monetary limits, excesses and exclusions apply. Arranged by Pinnacle Insurance Limited.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after eight on Tuesday, January 20th, to that Beckham feud, Brooklyn spills the tea and goes nuclear. And there'll never be a Brooklyn Bridge back to reconciliation, will there? We'll give you all the full, sorry, sad details and ask. They have more money than you can imagine, but at the heart of it, wouldn't they rather just have a united family? In other news,
it's been dubbed Britain's first Big Brother town, with a criminal court every 34 minutes during a trial which involves 15 facial recognition cameras. I'm LBC's Henry Riley in Croydon.
As discussed, Labour now to draw up plans for banning under-16s from social media, a so-called national conversation to take place in the view of the Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister. Here's one of his senior colleagues, Technology Secretary Liz Kendall, last night.
We believe that technology and AI can bring huge benefits to this country, but we will only seize those opportunities if people feel they and their kids are safe online.
A little over an hour ago, President Trump decided that the Chagos deal was a ridiculous giveaway and absolutely stupid. We'll remind you the terms of the deal, why it was deemed necessary or the necessity of it, and ask who's right. And it's extraordinary. It's only been 1 year of President Trump. And I take you back to April of last year with the Liberation Day tariffs.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia. Oh, look at Cambodia, 97%. We're going to bring it down to 49%. They made a fortune with the United States.
Everything from tariffs to the Middle East to Ukraine to Putin to ICE in Minnesota and his desires in Greenland. What a 12 months it has been.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Let's start by saying all families have their differences. It's a fact of life. If you're that close and there's that much love, occasionally it's going to be a bump in the road and it takes a while to get over. We all accept that. Every single one of you. I've had rows with my parents. They had rows. It's just a fact of life. This one, though, is, I'll just say, desperately sad. Effectively, Brooklyn Beckham cut off his entire family in an extraordinary attack mounted online last night and accused his mother, Victoria, of humiliating him at his wedding. Now, it is lengthy, but I do think, and listen carefully, particularly what comes, the part that is quite early on, which is what he, Brooklyn, claims is his mother's behaviour at their wedding. So here's, we're going to be speaking with a psychologist, and we're also going to be speaking with the compiler of the Sunday Times Rich List, because I'll say again, richer than Croesus, but just a family at war, almost literally. So here, voiced by a member of the production team, is that statement in full.
I've been silent for years and made every effort to keep these matters private. Unfortunately, my parents and their team have continued to go to the press, leaving me with no choice but to speak for myself and tell the truth about only some of the lies that have been printed. I do not want to reconcile with my family. I'm not being controlled. I'm standing up for myself for the first time in my life. For my entire life, my parents have controlled narratives in the press about our family. The performative social media posts, family events and inauthentic relationships have been a fixture of the life I was born into. Recently, I've seen with my own eyes the lengths they'll go through to place countless lies in the media, mostly at the expense of innocent people, to preserve their own facade. But I believe the truth always comes out. My parents have been trying endlessly to ruin my relationship since before our wedding, and it hasn't stopped. My mum cancelled making Nicola's dress in the 11th hour, despite how excited she was to wear her design, forcing her to urgently find a new dress. Weeks before our big day, my parents repeatedly pressured and attempted to bribe me into signing away the rights to my name, which would have affected me, my wife and our future children. They were adamant on me signing before my wedding date because then the terms of the deal would be initiated. My holdout affected the payday and they've never treated me the same since. During the wedding planning, my mum went so far as to call me evil because Nicola and I chose to include my nanny Sandra and Nicola's nanny at our table because they both didn't have their husbands. Both of our parents had their own tables equally adjacent to ours. The night before our wedding, members of my family told me that Nicola was not blood and not family. Since the moment I started standing up for myself with my family, I've received endless attacks from my parents, both privately and publicly, that were sent to the press on their orders. Even my brothers were sent to attack me on social media before they ultimately blocked me out of nowhere this last summer. My mum hijacked my first dance with my wife, which had been planned weeks in advance to a romantic love song. In front of 500 wedding guests, Mark Antony called me to the stage when the schedule was planned to be my romantic dance with my wife, but instead, my mum was waiting to dance with me instead. She danced very inappropriately on me in front of everyone. I've never felt more uncomfortable or humiliated in my entire life. We wanted to renew our vows so we could create new memories out of our wedding day that brings us joy and happiness, not anxiety and embarrassment. My wife has been consistently disrespected by my family, no matter how hard we've tried to come together as one. My mum has repeatedly invited women from my past into our lives in ways that were clearly intended to make us both uncomfortable. Despite this, we still travelled to London for my dad's birthday, and we were rejected for a week as we waited in our hotel room trying to plan quality time with him. He refused all of our attempts, unless it was at his big birthday party with 100 guests and cameras at every corner. When he finally agreed to see me, it was under the condition that Nicola wasn't invited. It was a slap in the face. Later, when my family travelled to LA, they refused to see me at all. My family values public promotion and endorsements above all else. Brand Beckham comes first. Family love is decided by how much you post on social media or how quickly you drop everything to show up and pose for a family photo op, even if it's at the expense of our professional obligations. We've gone out of our way for years to show up and support at every fashion show, every party and every press activity to show our perfect family. But the one time my wife asked for my mum's support to save displaced dogs during the LA fires, my mum refused. The narrative that my wife controls me is completely backwards. I've been controlled by my parents for most of my life. I grew up with overwhelming anxiety. For the first time in my life, since stepping away from my family, that anxiety has disappeared. I wake up every morning grateful for the life I chose and have found peace and relief. My wife and I do not want a life shaped by image, press or manipulation. All we want is peace, privacy and happiness for us and our future family.
And thanks to Chris for voicing that. My goodness me, there's movie rights, isn't there? There's a TV, there's a documentary, there's everything. Let's turn to Robert Watts, compiler of the Sunday Times Rich List. Right, Brand Beckham comes first, alleges Brooklyn. How wealthy, how rich, how valuable is Brand Beckham? Morning to you.
Oh, morning, Nick. Isn't it sad? Not uncommon, but very, very sad. In last year's Sunday Times Rich List, we did a big deep dive into the finances of the Beckhams. We came to a view of about £500 million now, but they're only just getting started. They are ambitious people. David, if you read that piece, it's a very well-informed piece by John Arledge, my colleague, says that David wants to be Britain's first billion-pound sportsman. And Victoria, no slouch at all. That people mocked that fashion brand of hers many years ago. That's now selling more than £100 million of frocks and other clothes a year. £1,300 dresses, if you feel like treating someone, Nick. Seriously ambitious and seriously wealthy people. And as we see with the Rich List, often the children come under pressure. What begins as a wanting to protect children from the pressures of life, concerns about privacy, things like that, can become very controlling.
But let's look at the daughter-in-law to the Beckhams, Nicola Peltz. She comes from fairly wealthy stock as well, doesn't she, Robert?
Well, a significantly more wealthy family, Nick. The pounces, the business started initially, but they made their money from initially from the grandfather. But Nelson Peltz was the man who supercharged the business. He started, it was initially a food business. Nelson, the dad, started in the food truck, working in the food truck, built the business up, bought other food businesses, then pivoted, as a lot of these people, do, into investment. And his firm now manages assets of about £6.5 billion. Forbes have put his wealth at about £1.5 billion. I think that's probably quite conservative. So, significantly more wealthy.
All right. Robert,
so far.
Robert, thank you. Robert Watts, your compiler of the Sunday Times rich list. So parents' combined value, we're talking of the billions of pounds, but there's no love lost between them all now, is there? Joe Hemmings is a behavioural and celebrity psychologist. Do you ever see a bridge being built for Brooklyn? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It seems extremely unlikely at the moment. I mean, he appears to have blocked not just his parents, but his whole family. So that's a very clear indicator he wants nothing to do with any of them right now. And, you know, I think the interesting thing is they do both come from very wealthy, powerful dynasties. And there seems to be, they seem to be at war, vying for power over, their sort of married children. And yeah, he says he wasn't controlled by his parents, but I think they put an enormous amount of pressure on him to create and forge a career of his own and not lean on their name. And maybe they disappointed him, maybe he felt the anxiety from that, and then he's been welcomed into a family that says, you know, don't worry, son, you don't have to do anything of your own accord, we'll welcome you whatever you do, however you are. And this has just escalated into this terrible statement, of which I've never seen the like.
No, it's quite incredible. He's pulling no punches. Do you think you've put your finger on it in a way, Joe, in that we have two families who are used to getting their own way pretty much all the time? This is the problem.
A huge percent. I mean, they probably are used to both being controlling because of the money, because of the power that they have. I don't know we don't know the other side of the story, whether he is sort of being controlled by his wife's family. I don't think he is, but I think it's his comfort place away from his own family because they have no huge expectations of him, and perhaps his own parents did, and he tried many, many careers from modelling to photography to you know, culinary ventures, social media content. None of them really worked for him, and I think they disappointed his parents.
Joe, all the work you do in the celebrity field, lastly, how common is it that these vast sums of money, and these really are, I mean, £500 million for the Beckhams, 1.5 for the in-laws, as it were, but not even that amount of money. So many of my listeners will think, God, if I had a scintilla of that, I'd be happy, but it doesn't bring happiness. Why?
Conversely, I think it brings unhappiness, because I think a certain level of entitlement comes with that amount of money, and you do feel you can tell your children, this is what you must do, this is what you have to do, you know, for both sets of families are very hardworking and came from nothing, interestingly.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think that's something that they pushed onto their children, make your own name in the world. And he failed to do that. But yes, the money for them in this instance is a huge burden. It's not a bonus.
Joe Hemmings is a behavioural and celebrity psychologist. You'll know, none of you, I hope to God none of you had risked the size of this in your families, because I can't see how this can ever be put right. But all that money and zero happiness, disgust, in many instances, I imagine you've got just a scintilla of that, and you have happier lives. We'll take your calls on that. Also, to Croydon, the Candid Camera, the use of facial recognition cameras, picking up an extraordinary number of law breakers. But what do the good folk of Croydon make of all these facial recognition cameras focused on them?
I think it's a pretty good idea. Right now, we need all the help we can in stopping crime.
I think it's a bit Big Brother state, something that will be used against us eventually.
Pilot scheme led to more than 100 arrests, and we'll have a full report from LBC's Henry Riley after this. It's 8:17 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has accused Britain of an act of great stupidity over its decision to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. The UK could be moving closer to a ban on social media for under-16s, and water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under plans for a new industry watchdog in England. LBC weather cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells by the afternoon, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic's being held on the M11 southbound at Junction 7 at Harlow. It's following an accident and there are queues on the approach. The A1M still very busy southbound to Junction 7 at Stevenage South after an accident. The M25 is slow anti-clockwise at Junction 18 at Chorley Wood. It's because of an accident where one lane is closed. And the M20 remains very busy westbound to the M26. It's because of an accident involving two cars and there are delays back to Junction 4 at Leybourne. On London Overground, Windrush line remains suspended to and from New Cross Gate to both Crystal Palace and West Croydon. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line because of a shortage of trains.
This is LBC.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers, dog lovers, bait clubbers, banker dancers, baby ravers, potters. Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up now and save 30% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends January 31st, 2026. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC. Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
During the Air France Rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Whoa. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:20 coming to you, Sam. You'll be the first caller on the book on the Beckhams or Brooklyn Beckham story. Let's just feature some of social media in the text. Mike says the difference here is that despite both families having being uber rich, the Peltzes have class and the Beckhams don't. This comes from C. Truth, well done, Brooklyn, the truth. Money can't buy life. Reality bites. Can't people say, see, it's a huge facade he's lived in. Brendan says, money doesn't make you happy, but I'd rather cry in my Ferrari. Anne says, this story mirrors that of Prince Harry, where his family doesn't like his wife. And lastly, while shorten this one, Carl. For me, David Beckham and Victoria understand very well the dangers of bad press. They've recovered the image of Beckham getting a red card in the World Cup in 98. Done very well to maintain that, and yes, they probably set some hard lines to maintain that and the lifestyle that Brooklyn was born into. I say again, if we listen to the Sunday Times Rich List compiler there, Robert Watts, £500 million, but I would imagine that there's not a day passes when David Beckham doesn't think about this rift now with his firstborn. Sam's in Cardiff. Sam, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. With Brooklyn Beckham, I am estranged from my father, who is not a celebrity, however, is of public interest in a different way.
I see. Like a politician or a businessman or something like that, is it? Something like that,
yeah.
Okay, right, we won't go any further, just so I get a sense of it, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, my parents split up when I was 15. It was very difficult to be part of that. I have had little or no contact with my father since. And there have been times where in the public domain he has been saying things or doing things which were against the truth, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. where living under a facade and everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't speak out for a very long time. But it did get to a point where he was vindictively going after the community in which essentially he left the family in when he left the family home.
You mean the geographical community?
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
right.
you know, the
yeah.
community
yeah.
where I was yeah. going to school, where
right.
other
okay.
family members lived, where my mm-hmm. nieces grew up. And it's at that point I did raise my head above the parapet mm-hmm. And say something publicly in the press.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that, you know, it's very difficult to be estranged from your parents. It's very difficult to suppress the emotions when you know what's happening or what's being said publicly isn't true. And there's normally a straw that breaks the camel's back that sort of opens the floodgates, etc., to feeling that you have to say something at some point. And I think the money is, you know, he's very privileged, but it wasn't his choice to be born into that family. And it certainly doesn't stop
what
his emotion.
What is the additional pressure, do you imagine? And I note that you're not show business, but whatever it is, your father is a known figure. What are the additional pressures that that brings as a child growing up?
Well, I mean, when I did go public with, you know, the issue, you know, it was attacked saying, you know, it's very strange that someone's son would go against the family and, you know, say these things.
Mm.
So you know that you're going to get attacked for speaking out on these things. But, you know, it's what you feel is right and your voice is never going to be as loud as other people's. You know that things are going to get twisted, but mm. you have to live your life and be able to say your piece knowing that you're going to get attacked from one side or the other, whatever you say.
When you were 15, 16, 17 and you saw male friends in situations where they were quite close to their dads, what they call male bonding or bonding with their father, how did you react to that when you saw that going around with friends?
I can remember being very young, way before this, about 7 years old, where one of my friends said, oh, I'm having a sort of father-son day, we're going to go and do something. And I couldn't understand it then. My father was never around when I was young. So him leaving was more fear, if that made sense. And you know, I think probably shame of your parents splitting up at the time and the fear of the unknown rather than the sort of logistics, you know, I'm not going to see my dad.
Of course, I understand. You have a good relationship with your mother?
No, I'm also estranged from my mother. I don't speak to my family at all.
Oh.
But again, I think that's something else that people don't realise, you know, especially over Christmas, for example, you know, people are asking you what you're doing and you're, you know, are you going to your family? And when you say, well, no, I don't, you know, I'm estranged from my family, they say, oh, that must be very difficult for your parents or for your mother. And you think, well, yes, it is. But in order for me to be in the position that I'm in and have to do that, it always seems to be that the parents get the sympathy as if the child is the problem rather than the other way around.
How likely is it there will ever be a rapprochement with either your mother or your father?
None, because that's not the right thing for me to do for my life, my family and my health.
Do you mind my asking why you can be so adamant on that?
Because I have tried with my father, I have tried with my mother, and every time it has a negative impact on my mental health and on my life.
Sorry.
And
okay.
It just gets to a point where, you know, my conscience is clear as in as much as I, you know, I have done what I can. It's very difficult, but that is the best thing for me, and you've got to look after yourself.
Of course you do. If you were to ever go on and have a family yourself, you may have a family, would you think it's a shame they never saw their grandparents?
Well, I am hopefully going to be a father next year, but...
Oh, congratulations. Fantastic.
But I would not want my children in an environment that I think would damage them.
No.
So, you know, I have designed my life to be able to keep them away from anything that's going to be potentially toxic and damaging, and I stand by that.
Lastly, do you have a close relationship with your partner's parents, or your in-laws?
Well, certainly closer than my family. However, I think it's very... I mean, my partner is from a different culture as well, so
I
it does
see.
Cause some difficulty understanding that it's less culturally accepted that people would not speak to their family.
Thanks for sharing so much. Best wishes as and when you become a dad. Best wishes to your partner. And may you have a good life. And if it doesn't include your parents, then so be it. We'll have more calls on that in a moment. Sue, I'm going to hear your story. But let's go elsewhere, because I have to be acutely aware that celebrity does not tick the box for everyone, but normally crime and law and order does. So let's go to Croydon, where a trial of what's called LFR, live facial recognition, has helped cut robbery and shoplifting and led to dozens of arrests. LBC's reporter Henry Riley is there, joining us from Croydon with details of the pilot scheme and what the folk made of it. Henry, morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, this pilot in Croydon launched a few months ago in October. Here we have fixed live facial recognition, or LFR, cameras, and they're mounted on street furniture. So, for example, lampposts on the high street rather than the mobile vans that we're usually used to. There are 15 LRF cameras here. They appear like ordinary CCTV, but they're only turned on during deployments to scan the faces, but they do scan everyone who passes by. Now, if they do map a person's facial features who match with someone on the watch list, it automatically alerts officers. Superintendent Luke Dillon from the Met Police says it's game-changing.
We're seeing reductions in almost all crime types, so certainly in shoplifting, in robbery, you know, offences that actually really matter to people. When we run an operation like we've got today, we see a reduction in crime for the next couple of days after that as well.
The Met say during this trial there's been an arrest every 34 minutes, with 103 overall, and in one case there was a false alert, and that they argue overall crime in this particular ward in Croydon is down by 12%. Now, a third of the arrests involved offenders who had committed offences against women and girls, so, for example, strangulation and sexual assault, and some of that footage has been published by the Met.
OK, you're under arrest because you're wanted for a serious assault on the 8th of the 9th, 2025, and a breach of tag requirement. OK? Mm. You do not have to say anything, but we're going on your defence, and you're going to mention one question.
We've got an operation going at the moment, OK? In regards to some facial recognition, OK? And the camera's detected yourself, all right?
Now, among those arrested were a 36-year-old woman who the Met said had been wanted for over 20 years for failing to appear at court on suspicion of assault. They also arrested a 27-year-old man who was wanted on suspicion of kidnap. It is controversial, though, some describing it as Big Brother. Privacy campaigners saying it carries an unacceptable risk of misidentification and that the cameras aren't properly regulated. There is actually a big case going through the High Court next week. The Equalities and Human Rights Commission say that the Met's use of these LFR cameras breach human rights laws, and this surrounds the case of Sean Thompson, a 39-year-old who was mistakenly stopped on London Bridge in 2024. He has described LFR as stop and search on steroids. These people on North End High Street in Croydon, where it's deployed, have told me their thoughts.
I think it's a pretty good idea. Right now, we need all the help we can in stopping crime because it's on the rise, people are unhappy, and that does lead to social unrest.
Do you think it's a good idea?
Yes, I do indeed, yeah. I mean, they need to be using that kind of technology as much as possible, really.
I think it's a bit Big Brother state, something that will be used against us eventually.
I watched this film last week, and a Chinese company, it was a tram that took photos of people that they got on, and they were nicking the data and using it for nefarious purposes. So, no.
Well, it's the Met Police who has it, but you worry that it still could be...
It could still be hacked. There's a lot of very clever, very young people out there that can hack anything.
Nick, the Met say there are currently no plans to expand this particular pilot.
Henry Riley reporting from Croydon. Coming up after the news, Sue, we'll come to more of your calls. More of your calls concerning the Beckham feud, and we'll come to your particular call. And more coverage on the idea there could be a U-turn on the social media ban for under-16s. Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, pretty influential part of the cabinet, Darrett Jones, told me in the first hour of the show
We're not coming out today with a fully formed answer, but we're recognising that there's a need for a national conversation with parents and young people. And
what does a national conversation look like? That's a strange one. How does that take place?
Well, it's basically a kind of enhanced form of government consultation. So instead of someone just filling out a form on the website, we'll be going around the country and talking to young people and parents.
Don't need to do that, Mr. Jones. Just listen to LBC. We're going to go around the country now and have that national conversation. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. The 8:30 news headlines are read by Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has called the UK's decision to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius an act of great stupidity. He claims it benefits Russia and China and is further proof the US needs control of Greenland for national security reasons. The UK could be moving closer to a ban on social media for under 16. The government has announced it'll hold a consultation on the idea after pressure from some Labour MPs. And the Environment Secretary is calling proposals to change the water industry in England and Wales once in a generation set of reforms. The companies will have to perform MOT health checks on their infrastructure to proactively identify any issues. LBC weather cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Some widespread sunny spells later, a high of 10 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Don't know about you, but I think this is happening. Trump is saying I will 100% stick with tariffs. Trump is exposing the fact that Europe has become militarily, economically, almost totally reliant upon the United States. And this is what is being exposed. The continent of Europe would not be able to withstand a threat of tariffs from the President of the United States. As absolutely inconceivable as that may well have been, it is now a reality, a possibility.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Whoa. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589 from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here, beloved pet of Doug and Carol Brookbank. Now, I've got to hand it to Doug and Kazza. They're doing school pickups, jobs, trips to the supermarket, and still find time to get healthy. Apparently, it's down to some NHS Healthy Choices quiz. Only took them 5 minutes to do, then gave them a simple plan to get started.
Come on, kids.
Total amazeballs.
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices Quiz to get a score and a plan that's right for you.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Said it before, but I'll say it again. 8:35. It's a snappy headline. End it like Beckham. Sadly, Brooklyn Beckham. Now, I would have thought blowing up any chances of a family reconciliation, possibly for years to come. Susan Scunthorpe, what's the family story you're going to say? Good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Hello.
In my view, it's more to do with blood, as mentioned in the thing that you your member staff read out earlier, rather than money. I had a very controlling mother-in-law who really
didn't...
That's
always a complex relationship, isn't it?
It's bad. It started all right. I thought she was quite a kind, motherly sort of person, actually, and it seemed to be all right. And then one day she said to my fiancé at the time, she can't love her parents like you love us. Because she's adopted.
Oh.
Bit gosh. Harsh.
That's ghastly.
I'd been adopted at 3 weeks old, in 1949 and had loving, kind parents.
Yeah, of course.
And in fact, they were better parents than she was.
So that is as your husband's fiancé. How did he try and smooth the waters after that ghastly comment?
Well, he was as shocked as I was.
Did he say, Mum, you can back off with that nonsense?
He spent his life doing that. She didn't give up. And we tried all sorts. We tried teasing. Our very first married Christmas together, I said to him, look, in order not to upset your mother, we'll not go to my parents either, and we'll just have it together, just the two of us.
So not see either parent, not see your folks and not see his folks?
Not see his, yeah. In order to try and keep her sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. The damage limitation, effectively.
I know.
And
so, you know, my poor mum and dad, I had to say, look, I'm doing this because of this. And
what
so
was
they,
your mother-in-law's reaction?
Well, she was disappointed we weren't going, but I think she was also pleased we weren't going to mine either.
How long was she in your life?
Oh, years. Years and years.
Did you have children with your husband?
Yes, I've got a daughter.
What was she like as a grandmother?
She, instead of asking me what, is there anything I'd like to be bought for the toddler or the baby or anything, she just chose them herself and gave them to me. So she did spend money on her, but it was, again, her choice. It's what she wanted. And that was just the nature of her. And, you know, my husband, to give him absolute credit, never, ever failed me, ever. He was completely on my side, and he found it as difficult to deal with as I did. It was awful, just awful. She didn't need to do it. I loved him and he loved me, and she should have been blooming grateful.
I couldn't agree more. Do you mind my asking how many years you and your husband were together before she died?
Well, we were married. He's now dead, but we were married for 44 years.
And was she present for all the 44 years?
No, she died about 6 years before him. Okay. She lived to a great age and he didn't.
Did her attitude toward... I'm very sorry to hear that. Did her attitude towards you soften in any way or change in any way?
Well, she knew that she was beaten. So in order to keep family things going and to make things as pleasant as possible, she never gave in, but she put up with me. And then her other son got married, and she suddenly had another girl to deal with. And suddenly, our sort of relationship, she left off on that one a bit and attacked the other one. She couldn't bear it. She couldn't bear to lose her sons and have control over them. It was so odd and so unnecessary.
What was your relationship like with your sister-in-law? That is to say, your husband's brother's wife?
Yes. Well, we don't live nearby, so we don't see them that often.
No.
They're elsewhere, down south. And, but yes, we get on fine with them.
You do.
Yeah, we get on fine.
Okay.
And we don't talk about her, because why waste your breath, as I'm wasting my breath now, talking about somebody like
so
that.
So what's going to happen with the Beckhams, Sue?
He will go where he's loved, won't he? Because
I think his mum and dad, I'm sure his grandparents love him. I feel desperately sorry for his grandparents because they were very much a part of his life, apparently.
Yeah. Well, his in-laws are just grateful and happy that he loves their girl. That's all. No wonder they're going to welcome him to their home because he loves their daughter.
Thanks, Sue. Oh, dear. Terrible memories in a sense, but what a great husband and how supportive he was. Thank you, Sue. Deirdre says, entitled children who've walked away from their parents showing no empathy and leaving their parents grieving the loss of their child is a massive problem. Therapists are encouraging estrangement instead of reconciliation. I'm heartbroken, as the Beckhams must be. I know, it's awful to see it played out like this, isn't it? Shall we go to other matters, which does involve, for some of us, our children, not for mine. Mine are a different age bracket now, but some of you will have under-16s, and ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under-16s, and also toughen up rules on mobile phones. This is, it is reported, as there is a backbench rebellion growing, possibly as many as 60 Labour MPs. Something I put to the first hour of the show when I was speaking with the Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones, and I asked, is this another U-turn coming down the track?
No, it doesn't. The Prime Minister is always rightly concerned about the well-being of young people and children in relation to social media. We've legislated recently to put protections in place, but we think there may be areas that we can go further on. But equally, you don't want to just close off all of these opportunities for young people if they're engaging with news content or accessing support services and those types of things, which is why the NSPCC and others have said a ban isn't appropriate. So we're not coming out today with a fully formed answer, but we're recognising that there's a need for a national conversation with parents and young people and tech companies.
What does a national conversation look like? That's a strange one. How does that take place?
Well, it's basically a kind of enhanced form of government consultation. So instead of someone just filling out a form on the website, we'll be going around the country and talking to young people and parents to see what more we can do to protect young people's well-being.
A national conversation, eh? Well, Andy Burrows is chief executive of the Molly Rose Foundation. Of course, the founder is that of Ian Russell, who was the father of Molly Rose Russell, who tragically took her life in 2017, aged just 14, after viewing certain content on social media. Andy Burrows joins me now. OK, you're now part of a national conversation, and the Prime Minister or the government wants to hear what you and your colleagues at the Molly Rose Foundation want to see. What would you suggest? Morning, Andy.
Morning, Nick. Well, look, it's good that the Prime Minister and the government have heeded, finally, the calls from parents, from experts, the real consensus that we need to see more being done on online safety. Ian and I met with the Prime Minister a year ago. He gave us assurances that he would look to do more. And then we heard nothing else from him, presumably because of the pressure coming from the US administration. We think now there is a really important set of steps to follow. We have to follow the evidence. We have to resist what seem like simplistic but actually can be quite counterproductive measures such as bans. The way forward, the quickest way to start to protect our children is to introduce amendments that can fix and strengthen the Online Safety Act and then broaden it so that the concerns about well-being, about addictive design, all of those business models designed to hook our children and keep eyeballs on screens for as long as possible, they are a thing of the past. And the Prime Minister should make clear that that is the price of admission for those tech companies to the UK market.
Do you feel a little bit let down by Sir Keir, Andy?
Honestly, yes. I think we all understand that the UK has had to balance a whole range of issues, and clearly the Trump administration has not been backwards in coming forwards about its views about shielding itself around big tech. But
these are kids' lives, Andy.
But exactly. These are kids' lives. Look, Nick, we know that we lose a young person under 18 to suicide every week where technology plays a role. Molly was not an outlier. Molly is a steady stream of children and families that have, you know, then faced the unimaginable because we've sat on our hands for too long. And look, the really important thing, and Ian's intervention over the weekend, along with the, entire consensus of the online child safety sector, was important because it was nuanced. You know, we have to recognise that the easy answers for children, and every parent, you know, is clearly crying out for change, but the easy answers could backfire. And when you look at Australia, for example...
Is it working?
It's not. We're looking at the worst of all worlds. So Instagram released figures last week showing that they've only taken down one child account for every 8 young people in Australia aged 8 to 15. Where we are seeing the accounts taken down, then, you know, calls from young people to mental health services, to the Australian version of Childline, have been surging. So look, it's early days. We've obviously got to wait to see what the overall impacts are. But I've been really concerned, I know Ian has been really concerned, that over the last few days we've had this false choice being presented by many politicians, frankly, some of them doing this for, you know, their own, with an eye to their own political aspirations. We just don't have a choice between pulling up the drawbridge with a ban or deciding that we have to tolerate the status quo. Regulation is how we fix product safety in every part of our economy. And there is no reason that we can't do this here. It takes the political will. It takes Ofcom to, frankly, grow a backbone. But we can achieve the change that children want, that parents want. And we can deliver that quickly through strengthening the Online Safety Act.
Grateful for your time, Andy Burrows. Thank you. Your chief executive of Molly Rose Foundation. Best wishes to Ian Russell, with whom, of course, I did some interviews last year. And good luck with what you're trying to achieve. Back to our conversation about the Beckhams. Ending it like Beckham. Kim, you'll be the next caller on that. And it is 1 year of President Trump. My goodness. Tariffs, treaties, or attempts, of course, in the Middle East, and tragedy as well, the shooting of that woman in Minnesota. And, of course, that row.
Not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards.
Playing cards.
But right now, you don't. Yeah, you're playing cards. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III.
Only 12 months seems incredible. We'll have a look back in a moment. It's 8:47 LBC News headlines, are read by Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has called the UK's decision to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius an act of great stupidity. Ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under-16s in the UK. And the Environment Secretary is calling proposals to change the water industry, a once-in-a-generation set of reforms. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M11 southbound heading towards Junction 7 at Harlow. It's following an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. Very busy on the A1M southbound to Junction 7 at Stevenage South following an accident. Those delays stretch all the way back to Junction 9 at Letchworth. In Kent, there are queues on the M20 westbound to Junction 3 at the M26, and that was after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. In Kennington, it's very busy on the Holliford Road. This is in both directions because a van's broken down. On the trains, London Overground's Windrush line was part suspended. It is now suspended between West Croydon and Sydenham because the fire alarms are going off at Norwood Junction.
LBC.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Daniel liked how easy it was to transfer his old pensions to PensionBee.
I've had quite an eclectic career, and with that I'd amassed pensions from a couple of different providers. I signed up using the app. It was really straightforward. I was able to give them a couple of key facts about each of my pensions, and then PensionBee did the rest of the work for me.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com. And be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
With Little Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Little Plus app to start saving. Lidl, more to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Little Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
Hi, just leaving work now. Sorry, it's a bit loud. Basically, so I was thinking we could get Mackey's tonight. Had a Big Mac on my mind all day, and delivery fee on the app is now from 99p. So, you in? Of course you are. Ha, love you. Bye.
Exclusively on the McDonald's app. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Participating restaurants. Serving times and T's and C's apply.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Always dreamt of running your own business. It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8 minutes before nine. Kim, coming to you for calls, Jason as well, if we've time. But let's have to look at other matters. And unbelievably, it's just 12 months since the second inauguration of President Donald Trump, taking place in a frost-bitten Washington, D.C. Only the second politician ever to play three, win two, i.e. president lost and then came back again. Now, he's signed over 200 executive orders since then, more than the entirety he signed during his first term. LBC's Helen Hoddenott takes a look at the promises kept and the curveballs thrown during a dramatic first year back in power.
It is my hope that our recent presidential election will be remembered as the greatest and most consequential election in the history of our country.
A year on from these comments at his inauguration, and some of those consequences Donald Trump mentioned are in full swing.
The golden age of America begins right now.
In that speech, he made big promises about an immigration crackdown.
We will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
In a year, the government claims it deported a record-breaking 600,000 people, and border crossings are significantly down. But ICE tactics have been thrown sharply into focus after an agent shot dead mum of three, Renee Good. On the economy, Trump promised
incomes will skyrocket, inflation will vanish completely, jobs will come roaring back.
So a year on, how's the economy doing? The president rates it as
A+.
A+.
Yeah, A++++.
But Americans aren't so sure.
Things are more expensive now.
It's hard. I feel like I go home with a single bag of groceries and I've spent $100 and I don't know how that happened.
Sweeping tariffs were another promise.
I always say tariffs is the most beautiful word to me in the dictionary.
And in April last year, Trump announced measures against some of America's largest trading partners.
China, first row. China. 67%, that's tariff.
With economists warning the ramifications of those could show up more this year. On the environment, Trump said he would.
And the Green New Deal, and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate.
In a year, companies have cancelled billions in clean energy investments, while more than a billion acres of federal land have been offered up for oil and gas drilling.
Biden had really taken the United States to a leadership role on climate change. And now we have basically the exact opposite.
Trump also made big promises about ending wars around the world.
Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, I will have the disastrous war between Russia and Ukraine settled.
That hasn't happened. The war rages on with an unforgettably tense moment between Trump and President Zelensky at the White House.
If you didn't have our military equipment,
while in Gaza, amid an extremely fragile ceasefire, phase two of Trump's peace plan has just got underway, with critics saying it lacks clarity and detail. And he caused shock, posting an AI video of an imagined future of Gaza, featuring himself as a giant golden statue. His designs on Greenland didn't come as too much of a shock after raising the prospect during his first term.
We need Greenland for national security.
But his move to capture the Venezuelan president was a big surprise, especially after his years of campaigning on an America First platform.
His actions in Venezuela proved that America First, according to Trump, it's basically BS.
This year promises to be equally unpredictable, with even the midterms thrown into question by Trump last week.
The president was simply joking. He was saying, we're doing such a great job. We're doing everything the American people thought. Maybe we should just keep rolling. But he was speaking facetiously.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt concluding Helen Hoddenott's report for LBC 4 before 9. Kim's in Dartford. Kim, talk about the Beckham family feud. What do you take from that? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think, you know, it's more nuanced than people think when you estrange yourself from your parents, especially when you get married and you want to start a new life with your partner. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from a family that requires you to have loyalty to the family you came from first before, you know, loyalty to your new family that you're creating with your partner.
You can't do and both.
I don't think you can. I mean, really? Of okay. course, I think if the dynamic is that the family you're coming from requires you to, you know, to do things that are against what is required within a family that you're creating, you can't be loyal to both at the same time. And I think the most important thing is for the parents to allow their adult child to be an adult child rather than continue seeing them as an infant, as a small child, and allow them to be a husband or a wife.
And do you sense that's what might have failed here? Obviously, nobody know. Well, perhaps they know, but we don't know. But do you think that's what might have gone wrong?
I think a big part of that, yes, because perhaps they were treating him more like a child, a small child, rather than a man who's now a husband to someone who wants to build a new family.
And that is what's going to be playing out. Kim, thank you. You've given me a minute to bring in Jason in Marylebone. Jason, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. There's a clip on YouTube, if you Google it and put in Beckham Goes Crazy on Melrose, you'll see David Beckham in a store with his three boys. You'll then see me in the middle of it all trying to stop somebody from filming him because it was just completely inappropriate what that guy was doing. David...
What had happened then? Was there a bit of a family spat going on or something?
No family spat at all. It was far from the opposite. David was just trying to do some shopping with his three boys, just him and his three boys.
Right.
And someone was trying to film it to just, you know, do what they do in L.A. This was in L.A. And it was just, it wasn't very pleasant. I happened to walk into the shop and I happened to then stop this guy from filming. Mm. But David, his only thing that David wanted to do was protect his children. There was nothing else in his mind other than to protect his children. And I'm now looking at this whole situation. I have unfortunately married into a controlling family. Oh. And I know what it's like, right? And personally, I think the only controlling part of this is who Brooklyn's married into, the family's married into. And if they split up, yeah, where do you think that's going to leave Brooklyn? Do you think he's going to still have the same attitude? I want nothing to do with my parents.
How have you handled your, what you say, are controlling in-laws?
It's incredibly difficult. Yeah, there's nothing easy about it. And unfortunately, it always seems to be money. And if you've got the bigger amount of money, they seem to be the bigger controllers, which makes me think why I've just made that statement that I think it's all to do.
Lastly, how is the relationship with your in-laws now? It tests difficult.
Father-in-law is 6 foot under, which, you know, honestly, the relief on people's face was incredible because of the person he was. And my mother-in-law, I'm the one running around to hospitals with her all the time because she's got dementia. But I don't hold a grudge.
The difficulties and challenges of families. Jason, thanks for that. Well, the conversation will continue. We move away from that feud and to another one, a growing one between Donald Trump, there he is again, and the United Kingdom. And the idea that is an act of great stupidity to give away, these are Trump's words, by the way, the Chagos Islands. But here's Chief Secretary of the Prime Minister, Darren Jones.
What we've done is a deal with the Mauritians that protects that island for the next century to be used as a military base. That was welcomed by the American administration when we did the deal. The treaty's been signed, and we think that's the best solution to protecting that military base.
Plus, as new regulations rumble through Parliament as control of the quality of our water and so-called MOTs, how would you want the regulators regulated? Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, President Trump has called the UK's plans to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius an act of great stupidity. He claims it benefits Russia and China and is proof the US needs to control Greenland for national security. The Trump administration previously endorsed the UK's deal. The Liberal Democrat leader, Sir Ed Davey, has told Nick Sir Keir Starmer needs to be more robust with Mr. Trump.
No one wants a trade war. You know, everyone loses, but we've got to stand up to him in those ways. And the Prime Minister's almost taken those off the table. And remember, the midterm elections are just around the corner. He's doing dreadfully in the polls. He's had a lot of pressure, even from his own side. So I think he's much weaker than he would like to admit to. And I think, therefore, working with our partners, we can stand up to him and get him to stop. He's backed down before.
Ministers are to consult on a social media ban for under-16s in the UK. Options will include raising the digital age of consent and restricting app features like infinite scrolling that could be addictive. Sir Keir Starmer's come under pressure recently following a similar move by Australian lawmakers last month. Speaking to Nick, the Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones denied it's another potential U-turn.
We're not coming out today with a fully formed answer, but we're recognising that there's a need for a national conversation with parents and young people and tech companies.
What does a national conversation look like? That's a strange one. How does that take place?
Well, it's basically a kind of enhanced form of government consultation. So instead of someone just filling out a form on the website, we'll be going around the country and talking to young people and parents to see what more we can do to protect young people's well-being.
Separately, Mr. Jones also refused to say on LBC when the proposed Hillsborough law will return to the Commons. MPs were due to vote on an amendment yesterday, but it was scrapped following concerns from campaigners and MPs. The bill aims to prevent cover-ups and has been criticised over plans to allow security services to be exempt from disclosing information. Darren Jones says time will be taken to strengthen the bill without compromising national security. Ministers are setting out what they're calling the biggest overhaul of the water industry in a generation. Companies will also have to perform MOT health checks on their infrastructure to proactively identify issues. And the High Court is expected to hear a legal challenge later over plans for a second runway at Gatwick Airport. Campaigners claim the government has failed to consider the harms caused by noise and emissions. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 113 at 10,082. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Some widespread sunny spells developing later. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Dominate your finances.
Sunday morning. Listening to questionable financial advice from the FinTok Bros on his social feed.
Drowning in green. Scale, 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 scale.
This is the moment Isaac chose to search Barclays Life Skills, get some better money intel, and save up for that new skateboard. We're helping young people become money confident. Search Barclays Life Skills. Barclays. Make money work for you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after nine, Tuesday, January the 20th. The giveaway, as Donald Trump calls it, of the Chagos Islands is an act of great stupidity. We'll remind you of the background to that. And, of course, look at the latest war of words between President Donald J. Trump, who celebrates a year in the job, by the way, year, I should say, since the inauguration, I should say, for today. In other news, back here in the UK, so-called MOTs for water companies, how exactly will they work? As a new regulator is unveiled, it could be some time off, might not even be by the end of this year, by the way. Amy Fairman is with the campaigning group River Action.
What we're seeing is ripples of change, but not the waves of the reform that we need in the water industry, which restructures the whole system.
And we'll be speaking with friend of the show, Fergal Sharkey, yes, fearless Fergal. Do you remember Fergal on a Friday? He'll be coming with us, coming onto that conversation later in this hour. And a leading voice in the cinema is saying that directors need to think of making their movies shorter. There are concerns about the growing increase in the length of films, including a couple of years ago. Now, if you're struggling, that was Oppenheimer, which is a little over 3 hours long, which I'll never forget. Won the Oscar for Best Editing. What editing?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
On that subject, by the way, Adrian Brody's film, The Brutalist, which I'm afraid I've not seen, and I really like it. I think he's a tremendous actor. I don't know how I've missed... Has this just come out? Anyway, I said that aloud. That needs an interval. That's like going back to the old days. An interval in films. I bet you've never heard of that. I vaguely remember it. Anyway, that's later in the show. So, to yet another war of words with Donald Trump. A post he put out, just as we were coming on, about 6:45 this morning or so, he was boarding an aircraft in the United States. It starts off quite nicely about our brilliant NATO ally, the United Kingdom, but then it goes on, is currently planning to give away the island Diego Garcia, the site of a vital US military base to Mauritius, and for no reason whatsoever, that bit's in capitals. The president asserts that China and Russia are watching this sign of weakness, and he says that is why the USA has to be respected like never before. He goes on, and I start quoting directly, "The UK giving away extremely important land is an act of, capitals, great stupidity, and another in a very long line of national security reasons why Greenland has to be acquired." But let's say with the Chagos Islands, and in the first hour of the show, I spoke with Chief Secretary of the Prime Minister, Darren Jones. I asked him the reaction to President Trump's outburst this morning, and also being an act of, as I say, great stupidity.
Look, the island of Diego Garcia is an important military base for the United Kingdom, which we share with our NATO allies, including the United States. We agree with the president on that. The island, obviously, was an island from the British Empire. There was a challenge to the sovereignty of it from the Mauritian government. And what we've done is a deal with the Mauritians that protects that island for the next century to be used as a military base with proper security powers and guarantees for both the island and the seas around it to protect our capabilities there. That was welcomed by the American administration when we did the deal. The treaty's been signed. It's been welcomed by NATO allies. And we think that's the best solution to protecting that military base, as I say, for the next century.
What is the approach that needs to be taken from the United Kingdom towards Donald Trump? He doesn't appear really to have responded positively to the Prime Minister's words almost 24 hours ago.
Look, I think if you judge the Prime Minister on his successes, whether it's on protecting the car industry, getting zero tariffs on British-made medicines, whether it's getting the technology trade deal up and running between the US and the UK, whether it's getting the President's support for interventions in Ukraine and those types of things, it shows that the Prime Minister's relationship with the President matters, but it also shows that British diplomacy is the right way to respond to what I agree is an unusual way of conducting world affairs. That's been successful for us so far. It's challenging. I totally recognize that. But I think the way the Prime Minister is playing it is right. That's been proven so far, and that's how he's going to continue to do it.
Let's get some background on this from Tobias Elwood, who served as Defence Minister, served as Chairman, indeed, of the Defence Select Committee, and as a Conservative MP, and is also a military bloke as well, having seen service in Northern Ireland, Cyprus, Gibraltar, Bosnia and elsewhere, and joins me now. We'll obviously get you on the political spectrum in a moment or three, Mr. Elwood, but just a sort of independent overview of the Chagos deal and why it was deemed the necessity of it, if we could start with that. Morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, I mean, this transfer of sovereignty, the Chagos Islands itself, Diego Garcia, it's important we do understand the detail, because we struck a deal with the United States. We're paying half, the Americans are paying half. So we pay about $100 million a year. We've handed over sovereignty, so we now rent the islands, if you like, and the cost of running the base is then left to the Americans. So we're paying about the same amount to keep up what was operating prior to all this coming to a foot. Why did it come to a foot? Yeah. Because challenges were made, as you began by saying, on what the sovereignty was. And this is where the history is important. Nobody wants to see any UK land handed over, no territory. But the background here is worth understanding. It's come up again and again at international hearings, which we've lost, the International Court of Justice, the UN General Assembly, to say that we have no longer a right to operate the islands. Now, these agreements were non-binding, and some are saying, let's ignore it. But when we do so, it weakens our argument when we challenge China of what they're doing in the South China Seas, and indeed with Greenland itself. It goes back to the Napoleonic times in the 1800s. When we defeated Napoleon, we took over all his assets right across the world, including Mauritius. And our Royal Navy captain walked into the governor's office, the French governor's office there, took over the office, looked on the map and said, oh my goodness, it comes with some islands too, a long, long way away, the Chagos Islands. So we continue, as the French did, to govern the islands from Mauritius. And we did so for many, many years. It's only in the 1960s, the late 60s, that we said, right, let's split the two up, because you're now going to go for independence, and we're going to keep the islands, and we're going to shift 2,000 islanders there so we can create a military base. And it's that messiness, if you like, that has left international courts saying you don't have a case to say, because you left it so late in the day, that that actually is UK sovereignty. So the point was, do we continue down this road of challenging? But it looked like, and this was the legal advice, if we get down this road, we could actually lose a bigger case, which was legally binding. And that's led us to the deal that we then have today. But we all know, and I think this is where we're probably going to go now, this is just a complete red herring. This is about, particularly when Marco Rubio and Donald Trump said this was a good deal. This was a very, very good deal, and he knows a thing about striking good deals. But now, of course, it fits into his argument to throw the focus on something else, particularly knowing that it's a bit of a storm in a teacup here in the UK.
So the sense I'm getting is, unpalatable as it might have been, a deal had to be done. As both a politician and a military bloke, can you explain the geographical and military significance of the island?
Yeah, this is enormous. It's the biggest overseas base the Americans have, and it's really isolated. So it's used as a massive logistical hub, but also a place from where other assets, intelligence and space and so forth, are all operated from. And it's so significant. That's why the Americans absolutely wanted to keep it. And they were there in the negotiations. We would not have done anything without their approval. They are our closest security ally. And the talk of, let's say, saying ignore international laws, we can go down that road. There's no doubt about it. But look where our world is going. It's starting to unfold anyway because people are starting to ignore international laws. And that's the big fundamental question.
But in a world of strong men, Tobias, in a world of strong men such as Xi and Putin, and you could even say Trump on the other side, do we really want to be led by a lawyer?
Well, that's a different question at all. The bigger question, I think, right now is, do we then try to continue with allies, like-minded allies, including, I hope, persuading America to come back to this place to look after our international rules-based order, knowing full well that it's starting to fragment? Because if we don't, and we've discussed this in the past, where does this go? It leads to growing uncertainty, instability, and eventually, I'm afraid, to some form of major global conflict.
Lastly, keen to get your view, reminding listeners, of course, you were a defence minister, you chaired the Defence Select Committee. Supposedly, our special relationship with our closest allies, the United States, clearly it's a little bit stretched and strained. Around 24 hours ago, almost to the minute, the Prime Minister laid out where the UK stands on this. What did you make of his approach?
I thought it was the appropriate stance for the moment, but you're right to then look at the detail. You know, take the F-35, our main fighter jet now. It is reliant on joint efforts on both sides of the Atlantic. Take our nuclear deterrence. We require support and collaboration with the Americans. So these are the bigger picture consequences of NATO fragmenting and that relationship falling apart from a security perspective. The bigger thing is to explain to Donald Trump that if this is about security, then upgrade your 200 soldiers that you've got in Greenland and put many more there. Join us. It's part of NATO. If it's about Russia, you think Russia's going to come over there, help us put the fire out in Ukraine and push Russia back. But he's not doing that. This is, I'm afraid, about unilateralism, about Trump taking America into a very dangerous place, a place I'm afraid no other American president after the Second World War would ever dare wander to. It's anti-American. And I suspect that many Americans themselves, certainly in Congress, are wondering where all this goes.
Tobias, always enjoy speaking with you. Thanks for your time. Tobias Elwood, former Defence Minister, chaired the Defence Select Committee, and, of course, as a military man, as I said, serving the Royal Green Jackets, Northern Ireland, Cyprus, Kuwait, Bosnia, Gibraltar, and other areas. OK, it is an unpalatable deal, but a deal that had to be done if we're to continue to have any respect for international law and be able to call out, clearly, transgressions of international law. Very difficult if the court findings were against the United Kingdom. That's the positive. Or it is an act of great stupidity, is what Donald Trump says. Here in the UK, it is an act of self-harm, a national self-harm, is the view of Kemi Badenoch. Who's right on that? And then later in the hour, the idea that we need to cut those movies. That's the theme song to The Irishman. Comes in at a whopping 3.5 hours. I've had relationships that didn't last that long. 9:15, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has called the UK's plans to hand over the Chagos Islands an act of great stupidity and total weakness.
A social media ban for under-16s in the UK is now being formally considered by the government. And water companies will be required to carry out MOTs on their infrastructure under plans for a new industry watchdog. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The A1M is partially blocked southbound at Junction 7 at Stevenage South following an accident, and those delays stretch all the way back to Junction 9 at Letchworth. In Kennington, it's still very slow on the Holyford Road both ways because a van has broken down. And in Croydon, the delays continue. The A23 Purley Way remains closed northbound for those emergency repair works. On London Overground, the Windrush line is suspended between West Croydon and Sydenham. That's because the fire alarms were going off earlier at Norwood Junction, which also means that southern services are delayed by about 15 minutes via Norwood Junction. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the Northern Line and minor delays on the Bakerloo.
This is LBC.
Mr. Thing is quite happy with himself. He's just got 20% off home care with British Gas, which covers the plumbing and heating, including unlimited call-outs and repairs. So what we're hearing is the satisfaction of knowing the boiler is sorted. Through song, if you can call it that. So search British Gas Home Care to get 20% off today and keep your shower showering hot. Terms and conditions apply. Ends 3rd of Feb. New to home care customers only.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey, Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Chagos, a deal that had to be done, unpalatable as it might have been, because it goes back to the times of the Napoleonic Wars, and we would have lost any respect that we might have in international courts because we would have lost a case. Or an act, more brutally simply, an act of great stupidity for Donald Trump. Let's go in the order in which you phoned in. James is in High Wycombe. James, you're on the radio. Good morning. Your reaction?
Hi, Nick. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Which is the correct interpretation of Chagos?
Well, firstly, just a quick view. Gutted that Trump has commented on this, because all those people that instinctively dislike him will reflexively think that the opposite is true. And I have to say, I'm super disappointed in Tobias's view on this. I think he's slightly misrepresented this, and as an ex-defence minister, it's fairly shocking. Mm-hmm. The ICJ view was an advisory opinion, Nick, and it may interest your listeners to go and check themselves who actually sat on that advisory opinion.
A Somalian judge, a Chinese judge, a Brazilian judge, a Chinese judge, a Brazilian judge, a Russian judge, a Lebanese judge, a Moroccan judge.
And ultimately, Nick, we know from judges in our own jurisdiction acting against British interests, as you regularly point out each week, how can we genuinely say that we think an advisory opinion from people who we have no idea of whether they've been corrupted, their views, their opinions, the sole dissenting judge was the American judge. There was no British judge on there at all. So we gave a full view of an advisory opinion to something else. There's two more opinions that have been used. There's the Court of Arbitration, which was between Maldives and Mauritius on a maritime issue. Yeah. This is ITLOS. the Maldives argued that we had jurisdiction and we weren't present at that point. And the judges said, no, no, they don't have jurisdiction. And actually, we can rule on this, even though the Brits aren't even here. So this is much more complicated than these guys are pointing out. And I must say, who benefits from this, really? Do we really think that giving away these islands, China are going to say, oh, do you know what? Those Brits, they're so nice. We're going to just decamp from the Spratly Islands. And you're right. We should all be nice and hug and play. This is naive to the point of stupidity. If we must give them away, Nick, we are not paying. And a 100-year lease? I mean, have you heard of Hong Kong recently? It doesn't play nice with the UK. So this is just short game naivety. And it's being led by barristers who get paid out. Let's be honest with you. We know who's running the Mauritius campaign. And it isn't a Mauritian, is it?
No. Run down the list of countries that supplied the judges for that judgment again, James.
I will go through it again. This needs to be fact-checked. I've got this from ChatGPT. Somalia, China, Slovakia, France, who are friends that sold missiles to people we went to war with, Brazil, the USA, Jamaica, Italy, Uganda, Russian Federation, Lebanon, Japan, India, Morocco.
We'll check that list. We will fact check it. If that's true, that's something that does need to be borne in mind. James, thank you. I say again, we are fact checking as we speak. So rather than take more calls on Chagos Islands, because that is such a potential time bomb, really, that James has detonated, let's go to other matters. And something we do know is the so-called Water White Paper will be published today, hoping to outline powers for a new watchdog body, aiming to put failure prevention first and strengthen accountability of our water companies. My goodness me, I bet they're listening in parts of Kent and Sussex. And also listening is good friend to this show, Fergal Sharkey, water campaigner. It's not that long ago that he was pulling on his waders every Friday. Fergal on Friday, fearless Fergal Sharkey, joins us again with a lovely background here on your video shot. Is that the River Test and you're about to go fly fishing? What is it?
Nick Ferrari, your instincts are brilliant. It is indeed the River Test, a photograph I took myself about a year ago on a very frosty morning when I was fishing for grayling. So my applause to you, and it is indicative. And in fact, speaks to what all this is about and what we're trying to save, preserve and conserve for future generations.
Spell it out, Fergal. Come on, what do you need to hear? What do we want to hear today?
Well, listen, the reality is, I think you and I clearly are suffering from an enormous sense of deja vu. It's another Tuesday, another government policy designed to save the water industry. I think, sadly, it's not a white paper, it's a whitewash. And for the very reasons you highlighted, within the last 5 weeks, two hospitals, one specialist kidney treatment centre, 15 schools, 19 day care centres and 29 nurseries were without water for 2 weeks in the run-up to Christmas. Nothing in this white paper is going to deal with that. Last week, 100,000 people in Kent could not even turn on their taps because there was no running water. Nothing in this white paper is going to deal with that. It is, and as I've begun to describe it today, it's DEFRA's version of invading Greenland, simply to divert attention away from the real issue, which actually is this privatisation of the water industry has colossally, spectacularly failed, and these companies are crippled with debts so big, some of them now can't even finance them, and that has created this political freeze in Number 10 and in the Treasury, where they're not prepared to tackle the restructuring and refinancing of this industry, quite frankly, in case it spooks the bond markets or dissuades some international investor that the UK might not be a good place to do business.
This is something that you feel passionately about and have been campaigning for years. I remember speaking to you, I don't know, sometime last year. There seemed to be a chink of light. Is it fair to characterise it like that, and now the door has been slammed shut, Fergal?
Correct. I'm absolutely convinced right now what's driving this is simply an allergic reaction and a paralysis within Number 10 in the Treasury not to do anything that might in any way cause ripples in the bond market or indeed affect the UK's position to raise finance and investment. So the reality for me this morning is that every household in England has now been sacrificed on the bonfire of corporate greed, financial engineering and incompetence.
How likely is it, Fergal, what the poor folk of Kent and Sussex have been enduring over 12 days prior to Christmas, as you know, as you rightly referenced, how likely is it that come a few weeks, months, possibly another year, that will be seen far more commonplace across the United Kingdom?
We already know that 25 million people living in the south and southeast of England are already at that tipping point on the cusp of running out of water. That's according to the Environment Agency. We need to find 4-5 billion litres of water within the next 20 years. That's almost getting on for 40% than we currently supply. It simply doesn't exist. If government wanted to do something today to demonstrate leadership, commitment, vision, you will hear the water company say that they are investing £104 billion over the next 5 years. That's a complete untruth. That £104 billion is coming from our bank accounts. That's why your water bills and my water bills gone up 20, 30, 40, 50%. We are paying that money. Water companies are not providing a red penny. If government wanted to solve this, they could have gone, we will put up £104 billion of public money, financed through bill increases. You water companies and your investors, you will now double that, if not triple it. We'll create a mutual fund that will pay for the infrastructure we need to save London's water supply, to fix the sewage system. We will not allow you to charge the extortionate 10, 12, 15, 20% rates of interest you've been charging. You can have a reasonable market rate and government might even guarantee the bond. That would have gone a long way to making this conversation disappear.
Lastly, last time we spoke, there's been a change at the top. Steve Reid is no longer in place as Environment Secretary. You had a working relationship with him. How are we doing with the new person?
I have to say, as you know, I have close friends, very close to government.
Yep.
When Emma was appointed,
Emma Reynolds.
The message I got was she's clever, capable, will get the job done. And I have to say, my own honest impression so far, she is all of those things and more. But I think she's been constrained by Number 10 and by the Treasury and their unjustified paranoia about upsetting the bond market. Because the thing is, this industry is going to need to be restructured. It's going to need to be refinanced. And we may as well do this today because it will be done sometime in the very near future.
Thanks for that lovely, relaxing image behind you, looking at the beautiful River Test taken by you on a frosty morning. Fearless Fergal Sharkey Water Campaign, and of course helped us with Fergal on Friday. Calls already coming in on that. We might do it the other side of the news. I think we'll have to, Derek, because John's in Enfield, is in hanging on the line. Chagos Islands, a necessary deal or a terrible act of great stupidity, to you quote Trump. Good morning.
No, I think Trump is totally wrong there. It's not a great act of stupidity. It's a great act of treachery, Nick. That's what it is. Treachery. Yeah. Now, a couple of things. In 100 years' time, when this thing so-called expires, and Mauritius has very close ties to China
yes.
In a blink of an eye, can you see the Americans adhering to the rules and say, oh, we're going to leave this and
give
it to...
Depends who's president.
I can't see them walking out anyway. They're going to break the rules. But this country is bankrupt, right? And
the United Kingdom you're talking about, or
bankrupt.
Mauritius.
And we're paying Mauritius $3.4 billion over the next 100 years for the privilege of giving it away.
Hold on. What is the argument put forward by someone who was on the Defence Select Committee that effectively we had no choice? If we want to continue to work to and be respected in the field of international law, we had no choice, is what Tobias Elwood was saying. John?
I would go back to that eventually this is going to be handed over to China, okay? And part of the deal... Starmer's a good friend of a guy called Philip Sands, KC. He's an international human. He's a close friend of his, right? And this guy has been working on behalf of Mauritius to actually...
Well, that's not illegal.
Still. It's not illegal.
No.
But the thing
he's
is...
He's been successful. One could argue he's obviously very good at his job.
Yeah, but if you combine that, and you know this supersized embassy that's about to go ahead,
looks like this week, I read.
It beggars belief, Nick.
That is one that I can certainly agree with you on. John, thank you. We are over time. Sorry about that. Derek, you definitely take your call about water the other side of the news. And I think if there's anything we've learned in the world of water, water quality, it probably makes sense to listen to Fergal Sharkey, and he is less than impressed by what the measures are be outlined later today. A week less than impressed is a cinema boss about the length of movies. They need to be shortened. Movies such as... Even Avatar, Fire and Ash, you heard Miley Cyrus there. That was more than 3 hours as well. How do you get through these movies, particularly as we meant to have decreasing attention span. What was I just saying? 9:30, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has accused Britain of an act of great stupidity over its decision to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. He claims it benefits China and Russia, and is further proof Greenland should be controlled by the US. The UK could be moving closer to a ban on social media for under-16s. The government has announced it'll hold a consultation on the idea after pressure from some Labour MPs. And the water campaigner Fergal Sharkey's just told Nick that plans to reform the industry are a whitewash that don't go far enough. Changes include the creation of a single regulator, which are in response to public anger on issues including rising bills and sewage pollution. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most today, some widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the new LBC app.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, stop working. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues. With our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern. Hi Derek, Tara from Flash Designs here, hope you're well. Not sure if you've seen my emails from last month, but could you please pay my invoice? Thank you so much. Bye. Hi, it's Tara, Flash Designs. Did you get my last voicemail? I know you're busy, but please pay my invoice today, if possible. Hello, again. It's Tara, again. Politely nudging, again.
Still chasing unpaid invoices? Let Sage Copilot help do the chasing so you can get paid up to 7 days faster. Search Sage Accountant today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
We might come back to our conversation about the Chagos Islands, but back here at home we're going to hear something. Effectively, it's a water quality bill. They're calling it something else. And the idea that we will do away with Ofwat. But if you're listening, as I say again, in Kent and Sussex and other areas that have been plagued with supply of water, lack of supply, or even foul water, polluted water, you better hold the celebrations, because they're not going to get rid of Ofwat until at least 2027. And we're in the opening skirmishes of 2026, of course. Derek's in North Allerton. Derek, your view on this. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Just hello. Reference Ofwat and Ofgem, all these Ofwatch, what you like to call them.
Watchdogs.
They're spineless. Mm. They've got the power to do a better job, but they aren't using it.
Yep, I agree.
How on earth can somebody, a CEO of a water company, get over £400,000 a year plus bonuses?
You're referring to David Hinton, I think, Southeast
yes.
Water. Well, if you take in a one-off payment last year, he actually got £516,000.
Yeah, well, how on earth did Ofwat let that happen?
I don't think they have the powers to regulate salaries. Well, I don't think. I mean, they have the power to fine, but of course that doesn't help the good folk of Kent and Sussex either, because then that's just going to put up their water rates even more.
Well, they'd fine people to try and make themselves look good. Who's paying for the fine? The people who are paying for the water.
What needs to happen? Clearly, you want a regulator with teeth. You want a regulator to be able to say, right, you're not going to pay that bloke that money, because there's loads of people who can't even wash their clothes.
Well, yes. If they're thinking about changing Ofwat to bring in another big hitting company, all they're going to do is employ a lot more pen pushers, and nothing will get done.
What's the quality of supply of your water like up there? And you're North Yorkshire, if you're North
Yorkshire. Yes, we're North Yorkshire. Yeah. Actually, it's quite good.
You're good, are you?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear that somebody is. Derek, thank you. We'll have more on water in a moment. Now, when did you last go to the pictures, go to the movies? I'm ashamed to say. I'm ashamed to say it's been a long time, which is wrong. But there's an interesting suggestion that directors should consider making their films shorter if they want people to visit the cinema. This comes from the creative director of Picture House, Claire Binns. She's voiced concerns about the steady increase in the length of films as she was named recipient of the BAFTA Award for Outstanding British Contribution to Cinema. So congratulations to her on that. This story features in today's Times newspaper. It says, research shows that in 2022, the average length of a film had grown by almost a third to 107 minutes. That's an hour and 45, isn't it? From 81 minutes. Now, that's what I like. 81 minutes. Recent releases that have broken the three-hour mark include, and we've played you the music of some of this, I think, James Cameron's Avatar, Fire and Ash, Martin Scorsese's The Irishman, and Adrian Brody's The Brutalist, which even had a 15-minute interval. I am just old enough to remember as a child, just old enough, going to the cinema with my parents, and at half-time someone would come down, typically a woman, probably not always a woman, but often a woman, with a tray of ice creams and boxes of Maltesers and, I don't know, packets of Golden Wonder crisps, and you go up and get them. Are we coming back to those days? Stephen Armstrong, journalist who writes, covers TV, film and theatre for The Observer and for The Independent, joins me now. Stephen, what is the perfect duration for a movie? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Well, I like the good folk of Kent and Essex believe firmly in good quality.
Right.
And I don't think that you need too much good quality, so I think under 2 hours, probably 90 minutes. I think you can knock out a top story in an hour and a half, and I think that some of the greatest films of all time have done so.
Oh, remind us of some of those. Come on, Stephen, what are we talking about?
I mean, I think there was a discipline in the Hollywood golden era where that was literally because the directors didn't have final cut, that they would be restricted to what the studio decided the length of the film would be. But and then gradually, as the director gets more and more power, then the film length increases. But if you, well, let's have a quick take on Star Wars, for instance. I mean, Star Wars is a moot point because there are, you know, obviously those who, but this is a tight film. It's
yep.
Perhaps a little bit flabby around the side plot terms, but it's a tight, just over 90 minutes. Pulp Fiction, Jaws.
Great.
These are films that, Taxi Driver, they, Goodfellas, these are tight films that do classic work
yeah.
in a limited period of time. Avatar: Way of Water, I mean, I'm the only reason I know that film exists is because it's over 3 hours and 12 minutes. We are not going to be discussing this on the whoever will replace us in 20 years' time. They will not be discussing the joys of the classic Avatar: Way of Water. The Irishman, bless Scorsese's heart, 3 hours and 30 minutes. I mean, again, not what we talk about Taxi Driver, we talk about Goodfellas, we don't talk about The Irishman.
What's the average duration of a Bond movie?
Oh, that is, you see, I should have researched Bond.
No, don't worry, because they tell a story, they go, and I think they might have grown a little bit from the best Bond, Sean Connery, just thought I'd say it, let's get it out there, we'll have the fight now, and I sense they have got a little bit longer, but they still, to use your brilliant expression, they still tell the story without too much flab on the sides.
Yes, I mean, the, here we go, I tell you what, it's, they started off under Connery, they came in at 116 minutes, which is under 2 hours.
Yep.
And for Daniel Craig, they came in at 2 hours 40 minutes.
Ah.
So they're over the 2 hour run, but they're not hitting the now fashionable 3 hours. So that is, and I think you could possibly justify, you could do two.
Mm.
I guess I did sit through No Time to Die, 2 hours 40 minutes, which did have an excessively long ending, I thought, and it did wibble around quite a lot.
Yeah.
But and I probably won't watch it ever again, but I don't think you could get a Bond movie of 3 hours without people generally leaving the cinema in droves.
Okay, lastly, you're running a big, massive movie production house. The director is all important. How much do you allow them to indulge themselves, to indulge his or him or herself in a movie? And when do you say, honestly, Nick, Sarah, Fred, whatever your name is, mate, there's too much here?
Well, this is the problem. The problem Hollywood has right now is that streamers are taking people away. They want to do an experience. It's a bit like those big 50s, you know, epic kind of religious films which threw everything onto the screen to show that cinema was better than television. The directors at the moment are gods in Hollywood and the producers are not. So all the big name directors, you know, they get final cut. Scorsese gets final cut. And so they go, well, I think my story runs for 3 hours, 30 minutes. Note, all those films, Star Wars, Pulp Fiction, Lawrence of Arabia, Jaws, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, all edited by a woman. And that is a key decision, I think. Get a woman onto the editing, say, no, honey, it's that's too long.
I love it. Sorry, Lawrence of Arabia. What was the other one?
Star Wars, Pulp Fiction, yeah. Lawrence of Arabia, Jaws, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, all edited by women.
That is such a good line. Bless you. Fantastic. Stephen Armstrong covers TV, film and theatre with The Observer and Independent. My, he's got a mind like an abacus, that man. Lawrence of Arabia, Star Wars, Pulp Fiction, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas. Well, just put women in charge of the editing. By the way, very kindly, what's your favourite Bond movie? Because here we go. Was there a greater Bond movie than Goldfinger? I mean, I'll allow you to say Octopussy was up there because I'm in it. Yes, I know. It wasn't one of the greatest. It didn't make a lot of money. Goldfinger, 111 minutes. No Time to Die. That's not today. No Time to Die, 163 minutes. They've added almost an hour. And I have to confess, I saw it on the TV, I just tuned out. Spectre, I didn't find that. When was the last good Bond film? Casino Royale, there we go. 144 minutes, so they added more than half an hour. Let's talk films with Tom in Enfield. Tom, you're on the radio. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning. Like Tom Cruise has failed with the last two Mission Impossible movies being 2 hours, 40 minutes.
Have they failed? Well, I don't know.
I'd say time is irrelevant. It's all about editing and clever editing, like your last call has just said. And it's about the event and bringing people back to the cinema. So, I mean, you look at the last three most successful movies, Avatar's nearly 3 hours. Avatar 3 is probably about half an hour too long. Titanic's 3 hours long.
Ah, is it? I was going to ask about Titanic. Yeah. Don't you think Titanic goes on a bit?
I don't think so. It's almost a film of two halves. I think it had an interval in a lot of cinemas when it came out. I think I saw it two or three times in the cinema, and it's still up there. I mean, look at Gone with the Wind is actually 4 hours long, and it still has the most ticket sales in history. More than Avatar, Titanic, any of those.
That's really it. Why did you see it three times, Titanic?
It's the event. I love cinema. I love taking people to cinema and bringing people together. I don't want to sit at home on a sofa on my own. I want to enjoy it, you know, in Leicester Square with thousands of people.
Share the whole experience. So broadly speaking, you don't think that this particular creative director, this particular woman, Claire Binns, is right here?
I think it's all about the event itself and the film. Yeah, the film quality, the editing is key. Mm. But it doesn't matter if it's 90 minutes or 4 hours. People will come to the cinema if they feel they're, you know, and they're only going to pay their money if they're in for a real treat.
Well said. Thanks, Tom. Harry in Waltham Forest. Harry, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Yes, your point.
So Go with the Wind at 4 hours.
Tom just told us,
Chicken Feet.
Sorry?
Some years ago, Chicken Feet.
Right.
Some years ago, I took my wife to see the War and Peace, Russian version, War and Peace at the Barbican.
Oh, yeah.
7 hours, 20 minutes.
No, you're not.
We
definitely had a love affair that haven't lasted that long, definitely. Seven and a half hours.
Almost 7 hours, 7 hours, 20 minutes. We saw the first 2 hours. And it broke for an interval. I said, right, we get something to eat and drink, and then we go back. And she said, you can, I'm off.
That's brilliant.
She went. And the tickets cost me a fortune.
Oh, dear. Have you stayed with her?
Yes. I don't think I've ever lived that down.
I love it. Was it worth 7 hours of your life that you'll never get back, lastly?
It's a brilliant film.
Is it? All right. Okay.
Yeah, the Russian version. In Russia, it was 8 hours when it released, 1968.
Oh, dear. I won't be hurrying to a cinema anytime soon. Harry, that's a lovely story, brilliantly told. We're talking water quality as well. Fiona, you'll be the next caller on that. Off what will eventually go. So what do you want? How do you want the regulator to be regulated? We'll look at that. It is 9:45, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has called the UK's plans to hand over the Chagos Islands an act of great stupidity and total weakness. A social media ban for under-16s in the UK is now being formally considered by the government, and campaigners have told LBC plans to reform the water industry in England and Wales lack urgency and boldness. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most, some widespread sunny spells developing later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Well, these problems do continue on the M25. Anti-clockwise, it's very busy from Junction 13 at Staines to 12 at the M3. It's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. Very busy in Kennington on the Harleford Road. Both ways, it's slow because a van's broken down. In Croydon, the A23 Purley Way remains closed northbound for those emergency repair works. On the Underground, there are severe delays still on the Northern Line and also minor delays on the Bakerloo Line, but also on London Overground. The Windrush line was suspended between West Croydon and Sydenham. In the last few moments, that line's now back up and running, but I'm afraid there are severe delays on the entire line.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Surely Europe has to hit back now. Whether or not the UK has a role to play in that process, I don't know. And it looks like that social media ban for under-16s is on.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Oh, how relaxing was that yoga session? I feel so free.
Speak for yourself. I can never let go. Bladder leaks.
I know, right? I'm so done compromising. I got a new bit of yoga kit. Always discreet pads. Here, try for yourself next week.
Love you lots, but this thin pad won't keep up with my heavy leaks.
Just trust me on this one. So, all zen and liberated, are we?
Let's just say I found my flow.
Always discreet. Live with no compromise.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Always dreamt of running your own business? It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Fiona, coming to you to talk about water at just a moment. I think you've got a burst pipe. I had one of those recently. It seemed to take a long time to fix it. This is what we're talking about, movies, though. Kieran says, sounds like No Time to Die had plenty of time to die. Didn't Hitchcock say the length of a film should be determined by someone's bladder, 90 minutes or less? Hugh and Bassey points out Gladiator came in at 2 hours 35. Now, Stephen Armstrong, the journalist with whom we were speaking, made a very good point that the following movies were all edited by women. Taxi Driver, 1 hour 54. Pulp Fiction, 2 hours 29. Goodfellas, 2 hours 26. The original Star Wars, 2 hours 16. There's something to be said there, although also Lawrence of Arabia was done by a woman. That comes in at 3 hours 30. At times it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? We might come back to movies, but we're going into the quality of water, or probably lack of it. Fiona's in West Hampstead. Right, what's happening in West Hampstead right now? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we have a closed road, one of the main roads leading from West End Lane up to Finchley Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's been... water's been coming out of the manhole for well over a week. It was, and it was a week, I think, before somebody came. They cordoned off the area, shut the road down, and that's it. And now, instead of running down one side of the road into a drain at the bottom, it's now on the other side of the road. Now, whether there's somebody there or not, I don't know. And all they've done is put up barriers. So the whole road is closed.
Now, you say they've put up barriers. Is anybody actually physically working on the hole?
No.
How do you feel about that when your water bill rolls in, when you hear about how probably in about 4 or 5 months' time there'll be hosepipe bans?
Well, listen, every time I walk by it, which is daily, I'm just thinking about all the money that's running down the road.
I know.
And the businesses that have been affected.
And when did you say this started?
Well... Sunday week ago, I came back from holiday and was running out of the manhole. But then,
it's been at least 10 days, and nothing's been done about it.
No, apart from I saw them on Monday come out and they put big orange wooden barriers around the hole.
Yeah.
And it was running down one side, and now last night on my way home, I noticed it's now running down the other side of the road.
Lastly, what about the idea of a water regulator that you could now ring that number, and if that wasn't patched up with, let's say, 2 or 3 days, there were huge fines, or some action was taken, or the boss lost their job? How about that?
Do you honestly think that's going to make any difference?
I think if people lost their job, yeah. I think you only need to fire one chief executive for gross incompetence, and all the others will suddenly start listening. Do you not think?
Well, whoever's the head of Thames Water, whoever is looking after the pipes where we are living and where everybody else is living, their head should roll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's a number that you can call. I mean, we were talking in the first hour of the show with Darren Jones, who's a very senior Labour politician, about how he wants civil servants to move faster, he wants the doers to be promoted and the talkers to be gone. Well, I would suggest in the world of water, there are many people who talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk, and they certainly can't deliver the water. Fiona, thank you for that. Let's go to social media. What you're saying as regards water. Here we are. John says, we need a water regulator with teeth and with real action that they can close companies down. I don't disagree that... certainly I agree they need teeth. I mean, closing companies down... if we use, again, the example of South East Water, these poor folk have been without water in places such as Tunbridge Wells. Just suddenly shutting the company down, it's not going to bring the water back, is it? I don't think. Mark Sells in Cambridgeshire, the performance of regulators, pretty much every regulator I can think of has been disgraceful. Off what? Off Gen? Largely staffed by former employees of businesses they're charged with regulating. They've been captured, and despite having substantial powers, they never seem to be deployed. You have to question their real independence, and the whiff of being bought is always there. Don't know about that. I think that bit's a little bit unfair. But that general sense of incompetence and unwillingness to take any direct action, I think that's absolutely fair, Mark. Chagos Islands is still featuring our conversation. Ian in Bournemouth says, a few months ago, Trump said the Chagos deal was a great deal. Why aren't you criticising his endless U-turns? Charles says, Trump, green and wrong. Chagos, he's completely right about the islands. We didn't even give the people a choice. Starmer does not have a leg to stand on. Joe's in Kingston on the Chagos Islands. What do you say about that? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Nick.
Hello,
sir. I've just spent 4 weeks holiday.
Yes.
In Mauritius.
Ah, it's a beautiful part of the world. Love it.
And I was surprised how beautiful the island is. But there's so much Chinese influence over there.
Mm.
And I 100% agree with Donald Trump.
Right.
That it's stupidity and madness to hand over sovereignty to Mauritius. Because it would be only a matter of months or weeks that China has a military base in the Indian Ocean. So forget about Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
The Chagos Islands is very close to China and Russia.
It's huge geographical significance. I understand that, yes.
Yes. What about the opposition like Farage and Badenoch? Can't they put a block to it?
No, they can't. No, that's the whole point. Well, they could try and force a vote. Well, not now. No, the deal is done. Well, you have to take on board what we heard, that the international courts, we are told, would have ruled against the United Kingdom. It's effectively illegal to continue to retain those islands because it dates back to territorial gains in the Napoleonic Wars.
Well, can't we make sure that the money that's being given to Mauritius get the Chagos Island people benefit from it?
No, they've been anything but. They've been shipped away from Chagos and they're furious about it. If you go down to Crawley in Sussex, which is where, not far from where you are, actually that far from where you are, that's where there are large communities of Chagosians and they're furious.
But the other thing is, Nick, there's so much poverty on the island. There's corruption and poverty, everything there.
Yes. I have visited Mauritius. I remember it's a tremendous place, but yeah, I'm afraid it is a contrast. You get those extraordinary sort of six-star hotels, and then outside the communities, I'm afraid the people not living that kind of lifestyle whatsoever. Joe, please allow me to finish with you to get one more on. Aries is in Barnet. Aries, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, thank you. What are you going to tell me about Chagos?
Well, I don't know that much, but the little that I do know, I just see blatant hypocrisy from Keir Starmer. I mean, if the Greenlanders are allowed self-determination, supposedly, then how come the Chagossians can't decide their own fate?
Now, that's a fair point, isn't it? Because they are, reportedly, they're livid that they've been ignored and sidelined out from the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why do they not give it back to them? It's their country, essentially. And if they're going to give anyone money, give them the money so that they can essentially fix what was taken from them.
What do you think of how Keir Starmer has been on foreign policy, whether it is regarding Chagos or the position he finds himself with the president in Greenland?
I think he's quite weak. The thing that I've never liked about Labour in general is that they talk a good talk, but there's not really much action. You know, if they say something, then they reverse on it. It's not my cup of tea, shall we say, and I think as a Prime Minister, he leaves a lot to be desired, and we are worse for having him, unfortunately.
All right. Aries, thank you for coming on. Let's finish with a little bit from social media. This one came in earlier in the show from Mike in Crawley, who regularly features. He assesses it thus. This is like the fall of the Roman Empire, modern-day Caesar descending into increasing madness. America is sleepwalking into tyranny, seems either incapable or unwilling to stop it. If Trump invaded Greenland, it's the end of America ever being regarded as a reliable ally or trading partner. And the only realistic option is to wean ourselves off everything American as fast as we possibly can. Whether Trump or ourselves survive the next 3 years, he's utterly destroyed any confidence in the United States. He wants a legacy, but sadly that will be it, however many arches, ballrooms or statues he erects. Mike, punchy as ever, and there's a very powerful piece in one of the papers today that says that the greatest damage he has done is he's destroyed trust. Trust in the United States now, if not gone, certainly at an all-time low. And we're done. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. You can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions, put your news categories in the order that you want, pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's it for me. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and it occurs to me this morning, and it's probably been true for a while, but there aren't any experts. There is nobody who has spent the best part of, say, 20 or 30 years working in diplomacy or in academia who is charged with understanding or explaining the moment that we find ourselves in. The behaviour of Donald Trump is so unprecedented and unhinged that you can't put it through any traditional or conventional lens of analysis. The Chagos thing is a perfect example. I've got the quotes in front of me from Marco Rubio, explaining why it was a bang-up deal and the president and him were completely behind it. Fast forward a few months and he's completely opposed to it. Where that leaves the rest of us, God only knows.
On your radio, on the LBC app and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. President Trump has called the UK's deal to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius an act of great stupidity. He claims it benefits Russia and China and is proof the US needs to control Greenland for national security. The Trump administration has previously endorsed the UK's deal. The US House Speaker Mike Johnson is currently on his feet addressing politicians in Westminster.
I spoke to President Trump at length yesterday, and I told him that I really felt that my mission here, even though we planned this back in the fall, we didn't know how the events would develop over the last few days. But I told the president that I felt that my mission here today was to encourage our friends and help to calm the waters, so to speak, and I hope to do so. As the Prime Minister said yesterday, let us look to agreement, continue our dialogue, and find a resolution.
The government's now formally considering banning social media for under-16s in the UK. Rating the digital age of consent is one of the options being put forward to a consultation. MOT-style checks for water pipes and sewage works could become mandatory in England and Wales. Ministers are announcing plans for an overhaul of the industry, including a new watchdog to replace Ofwat. The Environment Secretary says the changes are a once-in-a-generation set of reforms, but the environmental campaigner Fergal Sharkey has told LBC they don't go far enough.
Sadly, it's not a white paper, it's a whitewash. Last week, 100,000 people in Kent could not even turn on their taps because there was no running water. Nothing in this white paper is going to deal with that. It is, and as I've begun to describe it today, it's DEFRA's version of invading Greenland, simply to divert attention away from the real issue. This privatisation of the water industry has colossally, spectacularly failed.
An announcement's expected on whether China will be allowed to build the so-called mega embassy in London. Campaigners have raised concerns about national security and are promising to fight the plans if they're approved. And Brooklyn Pelt's Beckham has said that he doesn't wish to reconcile with his family. It's his first public comments addressing his reportedly strained relationship with his parents. Brooklyn has accused them of trying to ruin his relationship with his wife and controlling narrative in the press. Sir David and Lady Victoria are yet to comment. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 135 points at 10,060. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for most today. Widespread sunny spells will develop later. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some brands sponsor athletes for the glory, but not Quaker. We're real food. So we sponsor Team GB for the real stuff, the ugly stuff. The 5 a.m. alarms, the blisters, bruises, goggle marks and mountains of sweaty laundry. Because we know that getting to greatness takes a delicious helping of ugliness. And my word, our porridge is ugly. Look at the state of it. Quaker. Deliciously real, deliciously ugly. Sponsor of Team GB.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I don't know, does this count as a misinformation? It probably does. I don't know how much coverage you've seen or read today of Donald Trump's ludicrous comments about the so-called Chagos Island deals. It's very unpopular with the usual sort of ignorant racists all over Twitter who don't understand anything or follow the facts or events. But you'd have thought on this occasion they might have actually double-checked what Donald Trump had to say about it at the time, or indeed what his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, had to say about it all those many, many moons ago in, I don't like doing that, hashtag checks notes or whatever it is. But May of 2025, May the 22nd, 2025. So just lest you are confused about what is going on, Donald Trump has made his enmity towards Europe and the United Kingdom crystal clear. His designs upon sovereignty for European territory are now visible from space. You either abandon your pathetic, mealy-mouthed support for the man, or you erect ever more ludicrous facades of fraudulence and stupidity in order to mask your own sense of humiliation and shame at having backed such an obvious wrong'un, and of course having been so obnoxious and so rude to the people who were pointing out what was, to almost everybody honest, sensible and informed, blindingly obvious. So what he has done today is essentially hand weapons to useful idiots on this side of the Atlantic and say, please throw these at your own Prime Minister. which means that the useful idiots on this side of the Atlantic throwing weapons at their own Prime Minister are latter-day Lord Haw-Haws. They are doing the bidding of a foreign leader who wishes us harm and ill. See it in the context of the United Kingdom, if you want, or see it in the context of Europe, which he has refused to rule out military force in the process of helping himself to land that he wants. So just because you might think that you're going mad, I will file this under...
Missed information.
Thank you, Emily. This is May the 22nd, 2025, and I'm mentioning it because apparently I'm the only person capable of remembering. Today, the United States welcomed the historic agreement between the United Kingdom and the Republic of Mauritius on the future of the British Indian Ocean Territory, specifically the Chagos Archipelago. We commend both the United Kingdom and Mauritius for their leadership, vision and commitment to ensure that Diego Garcia remains fully operational for the duration of the agreement. We look forward to working closely with both governments to strengthen our collaboration in support of regional peace and stability. Full stop, signed Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Donald Trump's White House, May the 22nd, 2025. So why has he changed his course now? Answer, to get useful idiots to throw weapons at their own Prime Minister in acts of fairly obvious and blatant treachery. Okay? I have found today, for your delectation, the single most unhinged headline that I have had the misfortune of stumbling across in all my time commenting on the news, let alone simply the time assembling unhinged headlines for your delectation. You sort of think of Lord Haw-Haw as a mythical figure. You think of those Daily Mail front pages, hurrah for the brown shirts, the deep admiration of Hitler and his inner Nazi circle that was displayed by the owner of that newspaper, the grandfather of the current owner. And you open the pages of that organ and some others today, and you see how it happened. You see how you had people in this country in the 1930s shilling for our enemies, cheerleading for our enemies, expressing explicit admiration and praise for our enemies, or indeed for the equivalents of our enemies, their allies in our midst. Where Oswald Mosley once walked, today Nigel Farage goose steps. And there it is. I mean, these echoes of history, these reflections of the past are absolutely crystal clear, unless you don't want to see them. And the problem we've got is that, imagine this was a show that relied upon experts to explain things to us. We do occasionally, and we're very lucky to have a wonderful stable of experts, some of whom ring us unprompted and some of whom we reach out to on occasions when we need insights. But you can't ring anyone today. You can't ring anyone today. That's not a criticism of colleagues who will, of course, book experts to talk about this, but there aren't any. There are no experts who have spent 20 years preparing for this moment or understanding this moment. You talk to Fiona Hill about what Russia has done to destabilize the West. You're talking to an expert, but that's in the rearview mirror now. She would not have been prepared for a moment when Donald Trump set his sights upon sovereign European territory. There are no experts who have spent their lives either preparing for this moment or studying the possible ramifications of actions like this. The European Union is under attack from the United States of America. At the moment, the attack is political, rhetorical, and economic. But when asked whether or not he would rule out the military, the President of the United States of America refused to reveal it. It's extraordinary. That is where we are today. The European Union, the European continent, forgive me, is under attack from a man whose motivation, by his own account, which you can't rely on, of course, seems largely to be a complete misunderstanding.